We welcome you into Salem Memorial Ballpark for the first of a six-game series between arch in-state rivals, the Salem Red Sox and the Lynchburg Hillcats. Tyler Katz joined alongside Giovanni Heater as we welcome you here to our broadcast booth here in Salem, Virginia, and a beautiful day for baseball. Gio, not much more you could ask for in terms of weather today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Sun is shining. Little bit of wind gusts blowing out towards left field, coming in at about 25 miles an hour. Certainly could have an impact on this game. Blowing pin straight into left field, it has calmed down ever so slightly, but those flags are still blowing out towards left, so could have a serious impact on the game. We'll see how that all plays out, but otherwise, pretty much a cloudless sky as the sun will begin to set here about midway through our game, and with 70-degree temperatures, you couldn't ask for a better evening here in the early season in Salem.
Well, we take you through our two teams in today's game. The Lynchburg Hillcats, single A affiliates of the Cleveland Guardians, enter at 4-5 on the young season. Salem, their 10th game of the season, single A affiliate for the Boston Red Sox. They sit at 5-4. Take a look at the Carolina League standings in the north. Down east, leading the division at 5-3. Salem, just half a game back at 5-4. Lynchburg, a game and a half back at 4-5. Rounding things out at the bottom of the standings, the Fredericksburg Nationals, who are expected to have a really good season at 3-6, 2.5 games back on down east. Over in the south, Fayetteville leads the way and is leading the Carolina League overall at 6-2. Salem has a date with the Woodpeckers coming up soon. Kannapolis in second place, then a tie for third between Charleston and Myrtle Beach, and rounding things out with records of 3-4, Augusta and Columbia. Well, we'll take you through our pitching matchup in today's game for the Lynchburg Hillcats. Juan Zapata has one appearance so far this season, but it was in relief. He'll be making his first start. And for Salem, Dalton Rogers, who has really shined. Four innings of work, eight Ks, did not allow an earned run or a run against him. Gio, what are you looking forward to most in the matchup between Rogers and Zapata today?
Well, I think specifically for Salem, you have a situation here where you're kind of finding out, okay, who's going to be your ace this year? Who's going to be your best arm, at least through the early going? And a situation here where Dalton Rogers has the opportunity to kind of separate himself from the pack a little bit. We'll see how he goes out here and throws. Couldn't ask for better conditions. It's not wet. The wind could play a slight factor, but not really in the pitching game. So a really good opportunity for him to step up tonight.
Now, meanwhile, last time out in the last series for both these sides, Salem getting a 4-2 series win over the Carolina Mudcats down in Zebulon. Meanwhile, the Lynchburg Hillcats splitting the six-game series with the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. That game was over in Lynchburg, and so far the Hillcats' only home series of the year. That was a series in which it went back and forth. Myrtle Beach won a game, Lynchburg then won the next, Myrtle Beach took the next, and so on and so forth in that pattern. With that 2-1 series loss at the beginning of the season for Lynchburg, they sit at 4-5 with a losing record. They hope to snap that tonight. Gio, we were talking about it earlier tonight. Dating back, this series goes back all the way to 1968. And how about this? Couldn't be more perfectly tied. It sounds almost fake when I'm going to say this. 593 wins for the Salem Red Sox since 1968. 593 wins for the Lynchburg Hillcats. Exact tie tonight that will be broken. We'll see if we have a series split this series that would keep it tied. But this is a series which will decide who is going to be the all-time leader between these two teams in a rivalry that dates back nearly 60 years.
Yeah, 1968, the first time that these two teams played. Little did they know the type of history that they'd be getting themselves into back then. The affiliations were different at the time, but these two mainstays have stayed the same. And a situation, too, where, you know, some of these guys have the opportunity to get together halfway through and talk things through. They call it the 460 rivalry, and you're going to see it on display tonight.
We'll be back. National anthem coming up from Salem. national anthem has been sung here from Salem Memorial Ballpark. We're about to get underway between the Hillcats and the Red Sox. Before we do, we'll take you through our starting lineups. First, for the visitors on the scoreboard and the Lynchburg Hillcats, leading things off, the second baseman, number 12, Nathan Furman. Batting second, the third baseman, number 1, Juan Benjamin. Batting third, the left fielder, number 22, Angel Zarate. Batting fourth in center field, number 9, Guy Lipscomb. Batting fifth, the designated hitter, number 7, Mike Collado. Batting sixth, the catcher, number 11, Manuel Mejias. Batting seventh, the shortstop, number 10, Jose Devers. Batting eighth in right field, number 13, Lexer Sadui. And batting ninth, the first baseman, number 27, Mark Felia. On the mound for Lynchburg, number 38, Juan Zapata. On the other side, for the Salem Red Sox, we'll take it on down to Mr. Giovanni Heater with your starting lineups.
Starting out in center field at the top of the order tonight, Roman Anthony. And again, you're going to see very similar lineup to what we've seen throughout the regular season up to this point, especially at the top of the order. At the number 2 hole, Miguel Blaise playing out in right tonight. Alan Castro will bat third, playing out in left field. Designated hitter at cleanup in Juan Chacon. Then he'll move to the 5 hole with Luis Ravello at shortstop. Catching tonight, Ronald Rosario back behind home plate. Lionel James playing third base tonight. Gets reps at first as well, playing third tonight in the 7 hole. Albert Feliz over at first base of the 8 hole. And rounding us out at the bottom of the order, Abram Liendo playing at second this evening. So Anthony, Blaise, Castro, Chacon, Ravello, Rosario, James, Feliz, and Liendo for your Red Sox.
Leading things off for Lynchburg, Nathan Furman, the second baseman, a Charlotte 49er in the last collegiate season, now playing in his first professional season, made his professional debut earlier, currently riding a 6-game hitting streak entering tonight's game in Salem. Dalton Rogers skips one in the dirt to get us underway. First pitch recorded tonight at 6:06 p.m. 71 degrees, clear skies, and couldn't ask for a much more perfect day from Salem. A called strike right at the letters. Dalton Rogers, the starting pitcher for the Salem Red Sox. A bit more about him. The Southern Miss Golden Eagle has only pitched in one game so far against Carolina on the road. Inside will make it a 2-1. Had a no decision, only pitched 4 innings, but only allowed 1 hit. 1 run, it was unearned. Walking 2 and striking out 8 in those 8 innings of work. A big swing and miss by Furman to even the count at 2-2.
I mean, he's no stranger to games like this, right? Played on some really big stages in his college, especially in the postseason.
Southern Miss, one of the teams able to host a super regional. Foul ball hooking down the left side and into the seats. Rogers both pitched in the Hattiesburg regional and super regional, where unfortunately for his team, the Golden Eagles of Southern Miss, falling to the eventual national champions Ole Miss in the super regional. Ball inside will push the count full to Nathan Furman.
Similar to the University of Virginia a few years back, Ole Miss, the last team to get into the tournament, won the thing.
3-2, called strike 3 as Furman was heading up the line. He's frozen for the first strikeout of the game for Dalton Rogers. It's a backwards K in the scorebook.
That was a really nice pitch, and I think it was the right call. Up and in, just able to paint that inside corner. A nice pitch there by Dalton Rogers.
Juan Benjamin, the next batter for Lynchburg, called strike at 93. A nice fastball there from Rogers. Benjamin, the native to Santiago, Dominican Republic. The switch hitter bats from the right side. A swing and a foul ball. Left-handed arm in Dalton Rogers on the mound today for Salem.
And again, if you're watching at home, you know, some may be listening, some watching. If you're watching at home, you can see how the wind's playing an impact, shaking the outfield camera.
0-2, ball upstairs. One ball, two strikes to Ben Hameen. Today, Lynchburg going with an interesting combo for jerseys. Gray pants or very light gray pants, a navy blue stripe down the seam. Ball upstairs, another fastball at 93. One ball, two balls, two strikes. Then light lime green jerseys with Hillcats written in blue across the front, white numbers on the back, and navy blue caps for Lynchburg. Ground ball heading over to the shortstop gap. Ravello picks it up. And it was called a fair ball, so single for Juan Benjamin, and that's how Lynchburg will get its first base runner of the game. Good play by Ravello there, just popped up when Benjamin was already over at first, and it brings up Angel Zarate. First pitch outside, four ball one. Zarate playing at the University of North Carolina for five seasons, had a very long career as a UNC Tar Heel, made his professional debut earlier this season. Ball outside pops off the glove, no movement from Benjamin over at first. Two balls, no strikes. Top of the first inning, scoreless. Salem on the other end, by the way, wearing their all-white uniforms with Red Sox written across the front, red numbers on the back, and the traditional navy blue caps. 2-0, ball downstairs. Zarate, the native to Reidsville, North Carolina, started the season on a five-game hitting streak. On Sunday, which was the sixth game he played this season, that streak was finally snapped. A swing and a miss for Zarate. On a 3-0 count, was swinging away, so a 3-1 with one away. Runner at first. Zarate didn't have the most successful series last time against the Pelicans. Runner goes, swing, and a miss for a strike. Thought the bat may have gotten a piece of it, but the home plate umpire, Chris Janke, says no. So a stolen base for Juan Benjamin on a ball that popped out of the glove.
Yeah, I think Rosario just dropped that one.
So a runner now in scoring position with one away. Full count to Angel Zarate. Dalton Rogers looks in, kicks the leg, and fires on a foul ball back into the screen. We keep it at 3-2. 93-mile-per-hour fastball for Rogers. For Rogers, fastball tops out at around 96 miles per hour. Has a changeup that he throws secondary, does have a slider, doesn't throw it too much, and a ball downstairs will allow Zarate to reach via the walk. Cleanup batter for Lynchburg, Guy Lipscomb. So Lipscomb, a Belmont Bruin in Nashville, Tennessee, and hold on a quick second as it will be Dalton Rogers getting a visit on the mound from Jason Blanton, the pitching coach for Salem. Had a really good appearance against Carolina, and two straight batters have now reached with Lipscomb coming to the plate. So just a quick conversation between Blanton and Rogers.
These are two pretty evenly matched teams, Tyler. I mean, separated by a game as far as their standings go. Game and a half back for Lynchburg, half a game back in the standings for Salem. And obviously they're very evenly matched at 593 in the all-time series dating back to 1968. But I could expect this six-game series to maybe even be split down the middle, but certainly be a tightly contested battle throughout between the two teams.
So just a quick mound visit as Lipscomb will step into the batter's box. Fifth round pick for the Guardians in 2022. Pitch from Rogers. Just outside, another 91 mile per hour fastball that will miss. Well, played for the Belmont Bruins. They're a campus based in Nashville, Tennessee. 1-0 called a strike, 93 on the radar gun. One ball, one strike. Get this, Guy Lipscomb, the last name Lipscomb, is another university in Nashville, Tennessee.
It's true.
1-1 count. Called a strike outside. That changeup comes in at 85. So Lipscomb, a college in Tennessee, but also a baseball player who played for Belmont in Nashville, Tennessee. Does that make any sense?
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Runners at first and second, but Lipscomb is rung up by home plate umpire Chris Janke. He slams the bat in the dirt in frustration and walks back to the dugout. Two Ks, both of them backwards here in the first inning, as it brings up Mike Collado. Santiago, Dominican Republic native, has been working his way up every season in the Guardians organization. Started in the Dominican Summer League in 2021. Ball will miss low, 1-0. Spent last season with the Arizona Complex League Guardians. And now this year is in Lynchburg, so has been taking a step up the ladder each passing season. 1-0 comes inside, runner goes to third. Now caught between first and second base is Angel Zarate. He's being chased back and in a pickle. Coming over is Ravello, but the throw home instead. A defensive breakdown by the Salem Red Sox. No one knew where to cover or where to go, and it allows a run to score for Lynchburg.
Yeah, defensive breakdown's right. I mean, that's exactly what they wanted to do there. It was free up an opportunity for the run to come home in Benjamin, and just like the Hillcats drew it up, it's how it played out.
A big swing and a miss from Collado for strike number one. So Zarate now stands at second. Benjamin, in the midst of the chaos of the pickle, trying to get Zarate out, comes in to score. It's 1-0 Lynchburg, a called strike to Collado. The right-handed batter against the left-handed arm. Collado, another switch hitter for Lynchburg. Rogers hangs the arm. Still a 2-2 count. Pitch clock has been reset. Fires upstairs. Three balls, two strikes. And Rogers' pitch count has been worked up relatively high in this first inning. 1-0 Lynchburg leading. Ground ball foul will keep the count full down the third base side. Coming up in today's broadcast, we'll also have our third inning trivia. Of course, coming up in the top of the third, top of the first currently, as there's a ripper towards left. It drops into left field in front of Castro. Getting the green light is Zarate. The tag, he is safe, gets by it. Advancing is Collado on the throw. It's 2-0 Lynchburg.
What an unbelievable throw from Alan Castro. And he put it right where it needed to go as well. Tag just wasn't applied by Rosario. I mean, I guess that throw could have been a little more to the right, but other than that, that was a cannon of a throw from Castro out in the left to get it to home plate. Instead, though, it's a 2-0 lead for the Hillcats.
And Liam Carroll, the manager for the Red Sox, has seen enough. We're going to get a call to the bullpen as Dalton Rogers, after going four innings of shutout or one-hit work his last appearance, will be pulled, only recording two outs here in the top of the first. So Rogers' day is done. New pitcher on the mound for the Salem Red Sox is Johnny Felix. He's pitched in two games so far, with his last appearance coming 5 days ago against the Carolina Mudcats on April 13th. He pitched two innings, allowed one hit, but three walks, four runs to score, with three of them earned. Felix trying to lock it down in now a very early relief appearance where he's likely going to be asked to eat a lot of innings.
Yeah, he came in relief, first one out of the pen. It was game number three of this series against the Mudcats. Came in for two innings, gave up a hit, four runs, three of them earned. also gave up a walk but had two strikeouts. But he's kind of one of those first out of the pen guys. I don't think they wanted to pull him out of the pen quite this early, though.
Well, we talked about the series between Salem and Lynchburg all time. Get this, the Lynchburg Hillcats used to be called the Lynchburg Red Sox back between 1988 and 1994 as a former Red Sox affiliate. Here in Salem, the Red Sox hold a 320-272 lead over the team in Lynchburg. As stepping into the batter's box for the Hillcats, Manuel Mejias. Runner at second base is Mike Collado. A sky-high ball, foul territory, left field. Castro coming in, will slide, pops in the glove and out. For strike number one, was a tough play for Castro, but couldn't get there.
Yeah, I mean, he almost made a really, really nice play there. And hard to fault him because it was such a tough play, but man, it was right in his glove. Instead, they'll get another crack at it.
By the way, you talk about even teams. Last year in 2022, the Hillcats and Red Sox split the season series 12 games to 12. 0-1, ball downstairs. Say 1-1. With Collado still standing at second base. 2-0 Lynchburg leads here in the top of the first inning. A ball outside. Two balls and a strike. The count still two outs in the inning. Mejias, the first batter to take on Johnny Felix, the first reliever out of the pen for Salem. A swing and a drive hit to deep right field. Blaise ranges back at the track. It's out of the glove again. Blaise throws it in, but already standing at second, Manuel Mejias. And the Lynchburg Hillcats have a 3-0 top of the first inning lead.
I mean, it's tough because Blaise is looking up into the sun, but again, a situation where that's a catch you have to make. It's on the run, it's a tough catch, but it's one of those rules. If it hits your glove, you know, it should be brought in.
It is officially listed as a hit, so it's a double for Manuel Mejias. Jose Devers steps into the batter's box for Lynchburg.
Two RBI doubles so far this inning for the Hillcats as a team.
0-1, big wave and miss by Devers. Devers, the native to Samana, Dominican Republic, has spent his last two seasons with the Arizona Complex League Guardians, finally getting the call-up to single-A Lynchburg. He'll bloop one towards left field, but Castro looks comfortable, will reach up and make the routine fly-out catch out in left. The damage, however, has been done. Three runs on three hits, no errors, one runner left on base for Lynchburg. Salem get its first chance to bat when we come back on MILB TV. We welcome you back here to Salem. Red Sox in a hole early, 3-0 down to the Lynchburg Hillcats. Roman Anthony leads things off. A bit more on starting pitcher for Lynchburg in Juan Zapata, as there's a grounder over to second. Furman picks it up onto Felia in time for the out. One up, one down on a 4-3 rundown. But about Juan Zapata, made it to High A Lake County in 2021, but has not returned since. Spent all of last season in Lynchburg, has been with the organization since back in 2018. As a called strike comes in, 80 miles per hour. Miguel Blaise, the next batter. Blaise has been one of the top prospects to play here in Salem so far this season. Ball comes downstairs. One ball, one strike to Miguel Blaise. Now, he has struggled a bit in his last two games, but a line drive into the right center field gap will end those struggles. He's on his horse heading for second. The throw comes in, sliding in safely with a one-out double is Miguel Blaise. A great throw out of right field from Sadui. Alan Castro, who's been a big power bat so far, is the next batter for Salem. Sadui had a great throw into second base. It was just a little bit too late. If there was one criticism on that play, it was that Miguel Blaise seemed to have hesitated off of first and took a bit too long thinking about whether or not he should head to second, as Castro will swing and miss for strike one. But he made it to second base. All is well in Miguel Blaise land. Now, meanwhile, for Castro, he's been struggling recently. He's on a four-game hit list streak, a ball outside. Had a 1-for-20 series against the Mudcats on the road, but one of those hits was a grand slam. 1-1 delivery, a swing and a miss for strike two. One ball, two strikes to the Red Sox left fielder. Standing at second base, Miguel Blaise with one away. Bottom of the first, 3-0 Lynchburg. Pitch from Zapata. A swing and a miss. And Castro will go down on strikes. First strikeout for Zapata today. It brings up the DH, Juan Chacon. Now, Zapata getting the start today, he's only pitched in one game so far, and it was the final three innings against Myrtle Beach on April 13th, in which he recorded a save. So not too often you see a pitcher come in, record a save in his first appearance of the season, and get the starting nod in the next series. Called strike outside at 82.
Yeah, you don't see something like that out often. You also don't see the wind really howling out there. If you look at the center field cam, if you can get a glimpse of any of the flags, it's really blasting here in Salem.
Ball downstairs. We'll even the count to 1-1. There's a large American flag directly over the center field wall that is quite literally bending and flexing with the wind, as the flag is more or less acting as a parachute, pulling the pole in one direction. 1-1 upstairs. Make it a 2-1 count. Juan Chacon trying to drive in Miguel Blaise with two outs here in the bottom of the first. Should he reach, Luis Ravello stands on deck. 2-1 delivery, a ball downstairs. Hitters count to Chacon, 3-1. Zapata last season did start 10 games for the Hillcats, going 3-6 with a 3.76 ERA. Great strikeout to walk ratio. He's a really good strikeout pitcher. 3-1, called strike two, and Chacon started to take that walk over to first base but was drawn back.
Second time we've seen that tonight from home plate umpire Chris Janke, where a guy's taken off. Just getting a feel for his strike zone. Players, that is, early in this game.
Chacon, swing and a miss, and that's how the inning will end. A two-strikeout inning for Juan Zapata. No runs on one hit, no errors, and a runner left on base for Salem. We head to the second, 3-0 Hillcats on MILB TV. We welcome you back here to Salem. Lynchburg leads things off with the 8-9-1 portion of the batting order. Lexer Satui, Mark Folia, and Nate Furman do up this inning against Johnny Feliz. Tried to lay down a bunt, but pulling back is Satui, the right fielder. First meeting this season between in-state rivals Lynchburg and Salem, top of the second inning. Lynchburg holding a 3-0 lead over the Red Sox. 0-1 will skip down low. Earlier start time than normal tonight. 6:05 start time compared to the traditional Tuesday start time here in Salem of 7:05. Comes in, nearly hits Sadui at 78. The breaking ball from Felix misses inside. 2-1. Inside yet again. Felix has been missing there a ton so far. So we look around the Carolina League. Only two other games in action. The rest of the teams get started at 7 o'clock. Dribbler over to short. Ravello picks it up. Fires onto first base. A nice stretch from Feliz for the out. A 6-3 ground out for Lexer Sadui as Mark Folia is the next batter for Lynchburg. But Carolina on the road at Down East, holding a 2-0 lead over the Wood Ducks in the top of the second. End of the first in Kannapolis, as here comes the pitch from Feliz outside, 4-1. Kannapolis and Charleston tied at zeros. That game is in the top of the second. Augusta versus Myrtle Beach, Delmarva versus Fredericksburg, and Fayetteville versus Columbia, all starting at 7 as the pitch comes up inside and will hit the shoulder of Mark Folia. Interesting to note that Folia was batting from the right-handed batter's box. Lexer Sadui, who almost got hit twice, was batting from the left-handed batter's box. So Johnny Felix just pitching inside to both sides of the plate. It will bring up Furman. Furman is a left-handed batter on a six-game hitting streak. He struck out looking last inning. We'll take the first pitch for a called strike, 82-mile-per-hour breaking ball. Fourth-round draft pick for the Cleveland Guardians out of Brookhaven, Pennsylvania. Inside and low at 82 will miss to Furman, 1-1. Had a 10-for-22 series against Myrtle Beach. Two doubles, three RBIs, 5 walks, 4 strikeouts, and perhaps the most impressive part, Berman stealing 6 bags. Grounder over to second base. Liendo onto Ravello, over to Feliz. And an excellent defensive play in the field. But called safe over at first base is Nathan Berman on the fielder's choice. So Felia is out between the bases. Berman reaches on a fielder's choice, so he's now 0 for 2. Ball comes inside, just slightly trickles away. Standing stagnant over at first is Berman. Juan Benjamin, 1 for 1 today, a single, 2 stolen bases. And then came in later that inning. There's a foul ball landing in the Salem dugout. Trying to make a play was Lionel James, but didn't end up having a play on it. Line drive, Ravello into the glove. What a play! Juan Benjamin, a big swing and a liner over to short. A nice play by Luis Ravello ends the frame. No runs, no hits, no errors. One runner left on base for Lynchburg. 3-0. Hillcats in front on MILB TV. We welcome you back here. A nice speared line drive by Luis Ravello in the previous inning. He now comes up to the plate for his first plate appearance today, so a big play in the field. We'll see if he has a big play at the plate. A swing and a miss. Looking for the fences on pitch one from Juan Zapata. 3-0 Hillcats lead as we enter the bottom of the second. Tyler Katz joined alongside Giovanni Heater. On the call on this one, another swing and miss on an off-speed 84-mile-per-hour pitch. Ravello down in the count 0-2. Zapata now kicks, fires on a foul ball up the left side. Will hook into the seats. Carolina League Baseball souvenir for one fan. The kid is going to hop a railing to go get it. Didn't look like he had any competition as a ball will come down low at 91. 1-2 to Ravello. Other pitch outside. Working quickly is Zapata. Doesn't really let that pitch clock go down at all before firing the next pitch. Ravello will swing and miss at the 2-2. And a big strikeout to start off the inning. Third K for Juan Zapata as Ravello will go down swinging. Ronald Rosario, the catcher, is the next batter.
And that's three strikeouts in a row dating back to the previous inning as well. Ended the first with two consecutive.
There's a line drive into the right field gap. It drops for a base hit. Thought about second, but will retreat back to first. Rosario has himself a one-out single.
And that's a loud single, right? Because if it ends up getting between Sadui and Lipscomb out there in both right and center respectively and makes it to the track or the wall in that gap, you're looking at two, maybe even a chance at three. So that's a very, very loud single because it was a well-hit ball, no doubt about it.
The second consecutive inning in which the Red Sox have gotten their first batter out, ground ball to short. Devers on to Furman. Valia in time for the 6-4-3 double play that immediately chops down that runner at first and ends the frame. No runs on one hit, no errors, no runners left on base. 3-0 Lynchburg through two on MILB TV. We welcome you back here to Salem. Zarate will lead things off, followed by Lipscomb and Collado as we start the top of the third. Ball downstairs to Zarate will begin the inning. Zarate 0-0 today. Walked, came around to score in the top of the first. That's keeping Lynchburg afloat. Pitch and fire inside. Two balls, no strikes. Felix, the pitcher for Salem, has slightly struggled with control so far. 22 pitches, only 11 of them have gone for strikes. Make that 23 pitches with 11 for strikes as another ball will miss downstairs. A 3-0 count to Zarate. Delivery into the dirt, and Zarate will draw another walk. So far, the only Hillcat to reach via the free pass and has now done it twice. As it brings up Guy Lipscomb. Check swing on the 0-1. Looks at me on the 0-0. 0-for-1 today is Lipscomb, so it's a ball and no strikes. Five straight balls to lead off the inning from Johnny Felix, the current Red Sox pitcher. Shows bunt, lays it down foul up the third baseline. A ball and a strike. Kind of giving away your plans, was trying to bunt without the Red Sox defense expecting it, but has kind of exposed that plan.
Yeah, we'll see what he goes with here. Went with the high fastball at first, that one an off speed.
A ball outside. So no called strikes from Chris Jahnke this inning. Only a foul ball on a bunt. Makes it a 2-1 count. Top of the third inning. A swing and a fly ball towards center. Anthony charges in. It will drop in front for a base hit. The throw goes into third on an absolute line drive. Lipscomb will single for the first time today. Zarate will get up to second base. Runners at first and second with nobody out for Mike Collado.
That was three fastballs in an off-speed. Two pitches in a row. Johnny Felix went to the fastball in the same spot, and second time around after seeing one of them, Lipscomb was able to get a hold of that one.
Well, it's the top of the third inning, so as is tradition, it is time for our third inning trivia. Ball outside for Collado. Our category for today is records. And I'm going to be generous and give out a potential for 5 points. Five personal points, ball outside, 76 miles per hour. There are a lot of things you can answer in this one. And if you get all 5 points, I don't know what I'll do, but you're welcome to join us in the booth because that's how much you know. Ball three downstairs. So here's what you need to do for all 5 points. First of all, get the correct numbers. This will all make sense in a second. When it was, who the opponent was, and do that for both teams. Ball downstairs will draw the second walk of the inning and load up the bases for Manuel Mejias, who had a double in his last at-bat. That could be a killer for the Red Sox if Mejias doubles again. So your question for today is, what is the most runs scored in an inning? Called strike at the letters at 92, called strike for Felix. But the most runs scored in an inning by both the Boston Red Sox and the Salem Red Sox. 0-1, line drive towards right. Blaise comes in, makes the catch. No tag from any of the runners. Staying at their respective stations, Mejias flies out to right. It will bring up Jose Devers. He's 0-1. He flew out to left. So here's what you need to do for all 5 points. Name the most runs scored in an inning by the Boston Red Sox for one. Most runs in an inning scored by the Salem Red Sox for two. Name the opponent for each team for points three and four. And then name one of the 2 years. So either the year that the Salem Red Sox scored their most runs in the inning or the year that the Red Sox, as there's a ground ball into left field for a base hit. Zarate scores, Lipscomb scores, heading to third is Collado, the throw down to third, well, not in time, and a two RBI single by Jose Devers has extended the Lynchburg Hillcat lead to 5-0 here in the top of the third inning.
Rare that you see two RBIs on a single like that, but it just took such a unique bounce up over the head of James. Ravello couldn't track it down either, coming on from short, got past both of them, and allowed two fellows to score for the Hillcats as they make it a 5-0 ball game.
Well, by the way, as always, you can submit your answers to today's third inning trivia by using hashtag Salem Sox Broadcast. Called strike to Lexer Sadui. Runners at the corners with just one away here in the top of the third for Lynchburg. Throw down to second on a steal, a throw back home. Safe, avoiding the tag. And up to second base goes Jose Devers. 6-0 Lynchburg leads. A stolen base for Jose Devers. Advancing on the play to home is Mike Collado. It's now a 6-0 Lynchburg lead. Opening up this ball game against Salem. Three runs in the first, three runs here in the third. 1-1 swing and a miss. Four strike two to Lexer Sadui.
Whatever it is about playing at home, Salem hasn't been too strong here.
At that one game against Delmarva, in which they performed at home, a swing and a miss, or a foul tip. So it keeps it at 1-2. Again, Salem Sox Broadcast is the hashtag you're using for the most runs scored in an inning by the Salem Sox, by the Boston Red Sox, who they were playing. And excuse me, that's now been reversed. It is a called strike after an appeal. Or excuse me, a strikeout swinging. So the first K of the day for Johnny Felix. Who the Salem Sox were playing, who the Boston Red Sox were playing, and then one of the 2 years in which those records occurred. Runner goes for third. Defensive indifference on a called strike inside. So Devers now standing over at third base. Rosario, the catcher, wanted no part of that. On the throw down, 0-1 grounded foul up the left field line. Make the count 0-2 to Mark Belia. Check back over towards third base before firing. Felix will miss outside. 1-2, 84-mile-per-hour pitch. Gio, this hasn't really been the start that Salem wanted.
No, not at all.
1-2. Called strike three inside. An enthusiastic strike call. Two strikeouts in a row for Johnny Felix and the inning. Three runs. Score on just two hits, no errors, one runner left on base. Salem tries to respond when we come back on MILB TV. Welcome you back here for the bottom of the third. Called strike three ended the inning in the top of the third as we head to the bottom of the third inning. Albert Feliz, Abram Liendo, and Roman Anthony do up a called strike down low for Juan Zapata. Our trivia answer expires, so you can get your answers in up until one out is recorded here in the bottom of the third. Swing and a miss for strike two, and it's a strike away from us revealing that answer. Again, most runs in an inning by Salem and Boston, who they were playing and what years, for a total of 5 potential individual points. Ball upstairs, 1-2. Again, hashtag Salem Sox broadcast. Even if you don't know the answer, we'd love to interact with you here on the broadcast. 1-2, grounder over to short. Devers picks it up. On to first, Felia will field it in time for the out. A 6-3 ground out opens up the inning, bringing up Abram Liendo.
Still no many correct, no correct answers yet.
No correct answers yet. We'll see if there's any at the buzzer, but there is one out, which means we will start to reveal that answer first for the MLB team, the Boston Red Sox. Ball downstairs. The answer for most runs in a single inning was 17. They were playing the Detroit Tigers in 1953. A swing and a miss for strike one. Abram Liendo even in the count, 1-1. Bottom of the third, 6-0 Lynchburg. Nobody on, one out. Red Sox scored 17 in the bottom of the seventh on that day in 1953. A swing and a miss for strike two. which is, by the way, still the American League record for most runs scored in an inning, as the Red Sox went on to beat the Tigers that day 23-3. 1-2 upstairs, 2 balls, 2 strikes. The Salem record is much more recent. Not too much more recent, still about 40 years old. A swing and a wave up in the sky at an 85-mile-per-hour pitch as Liendo goes down on strikes. It's punch-out number 4 for Juan Zapata, bringing up Roman Anthony. Salem scored 12 runs in an inning all the way back in 1982. August 24th, 1982, their opponent that day, the Peninsula Pilots, who are now a summer collegiate baseball league. The ball will miss down low for ball one. They're now a summer collegiate baseball team in the Coastal Plains League, based in Eastern Virginia.
A star at local Virginia Tech, third baseman Carson DeMartini, an all-conference player, played his summer ball there last year, which the locals here can appreciate.
1-0 is outside for ball number two. And you speak of now a former Peninsula Pilot. He's been tearing it up in the NCAA this season. Hope to see him on a professional roster sometime soon. Ball inside. It's a 3-0 count to Roman Anthony with two gone in the bottom of the third.
Well, if you want to keep the conversation local, you talk about Gavin Cross being drafted in the top 10 last year.
Called strike. Makes it a 3-1 count. Now, Gavin Cross was somebody who did play here in Salem, but in the visiting dugout for the Columbia Fireflies in the Royals organization. Ball four downstairs as Anthony draws a walk. Just the third base runner for Salem so far today.
And he could possibly be back later this season.
It would require him being demoted currently in High A Quad Cities. But definitely a possibility to be seen in Columbia again should the Royals decide to shake things up. Miguel Blaise 1-for-1 with a double the next batter. High leg kick and fire for Zapata outside for ball one. 1 ball, no strikes.
They're saying DeMartini has the possibility of being an even higher pick than Cross was at 9th overall.
Only a sophomore with local Virginia Tech. Pickoff back to first, but back in safely is Roman Anthony. So there goes the disengagement for Zapata. And a relatively large lead off of first for Roman Anthony, who does have a lot of speed. 3 stolen bases on 4 attempts so far. Foul ball hooks back behind home plate. 1 ball, 1 strike.
We had the treat of seeing Jackson Holliday play here. You talk about big names in baseball. Number one overall pick. Obviously his father with quite the career.
Runner goes on a hit and run. Fly ball to center, drops for a base hit. Anthony on his horse to third. The throw comes into second base. And there are runners at the corners. The Red Sox have something cooking with two away here in the bottom of the third, bringing up Alan Castro.
Not only that, Miguel Blaise 2-for-2 now on the afternoon. Halfway through the cycle, TK.
As the hardest two legs left to go,
yeah,
with a home
true.
Run and a triple. We talked about how hard it is to hit home runs here. The Red Sox have only hit 3 home runs this season. All of them were at Five County Stadium, home of the Carolina Mudcats. Runner goes for second. No interest from Mejias, the catcher. As into second base goes Mikhail Blaise.
He's quick, man. He's speedy. Now you got 2 runners in scoring position. Got to make something happen here. Down 6. A big opportunity with 2 down.
A ball and no strikes for Alan Castro. A swing and a grounder foul into the Lynchburg dugout. Castro struck out swinging in his last at-bat. Could really break out of a slump here. Is 1 for his last 21 at-bats. The Santo Domingo native bats with runners at second and third. Ball downstairs, a good take to make it 2-1.
He had such a hot start, too. Had a 4-hit game in that first series against Delmarva.
Blase will be credited with a stolen base, by the way. Grounder foul makes it 2-2. The question was whether or not it would be ruled defensive indifference, since Mejias did not want to throw down to second base, but it is officially in the books as a steal. Second and third with two outs. Both Blase and Anthony, who occupy the bases, got on with two outs in the inning. 2-2, fouled off, keeps the at-bat alive for Castro.
Yeah, just got a piece of that off-speed pitch. Wouldn't let Zapata fool him, but he was out in front of that one a little bit.
Castro described as a power hitter, but is more comfortable from the right-handed batter's box. The switch hitter is in the left-handed box, taking on the right-handed arm in Juan Zapata. 2-2, swung on and missed, and Zapata gets himself out of a jam with his fifth strikeout of the ballgame. No runs, one hit, no errors. Two runners left on base. We're through a third in this ballgame. 6-0 Lynchburg on MILB TV. We welcome you back here to Salem. Top of the fourth inning, taking you the way through the middle innings. Here's Mr. Giovanni Heater.
Now, first pitch on the way to Nate Furman. Thank you, Tyler. This one, 84 miles an hour on the off speed. It's inside, and the count now 1-0. A windy yet gorgeous day here in Salem. The 1-0 pitch inside and low at the ankles, and the count now 2-0. That time a 92 mile an hour fastball. Well, Furman struck out looking, and ended up reaching first on a fielder's choice today. 2-0 inside again on another fastball, and quickly it is three balls, no strikes for Nate Furman. New pitcher on the bump for Salem, it's Raylan Perez. Over the head, kicks and deals the 3-0, and it's upstairs on the fastball again. A four-pitch walk to start the outing for Raylan Perez. Nate Furman is aboard to get us going here in the fourth inning.
One thing that Salem has struggled with this season is control. Seemed to have settled down in the later stages of that Carolina Mudcat series, but already four walks surrendered.
Here's Juan Benjamin. Looks at the first pitch outside of the count now 1-0, and this is five consecutive balls by Nate Furman. Runner on first, nobody out. 6-0 the lead for Lynchburg over Salem. Runner goes from first, the pitch, and it's well outside, as sliding in safely at second is Nate Furman. It's a 2-0 count with a runner in scoring position after the stolen base. Wanting no part of that was Ronald Rosario, the catcher behind home plate.
Seventh stolen base of the season after a six stolen base series against Myrtle Beach for Furman.
Perez glances to second. The 2-0 on the way, and this time it's over the plate on a fastball simmered in at 90. The count, two balls and a strike now for Juan Benjamin. He singled in his first at-bat, stole a pair of bags en route to scoring, and lined out to short. Here's the 2-1. Well off the plate and outside on the 80-mile-an-hour off-speed pitch, and the count now 3-1. That line out to short was a heck of a play, snared out of the sky by Ravello. Abel absolutely jumped up and plucked it out of the air. Here's the 3-1. Swung on, chopped back towards the mound, over the head of the pitcher in Perez. Both coming onto it was Liendo, and Ravello gets away from both of them, and Furman comes home to score as Benjamin ends up at second base.
You know, first error on paper so far for Salem, but there have been a lot of mistakes in the field so far today. And that's one where two players just came in, got in each other's way. There needs to be some more communication there between Liendo and Feliz to call one or the other off.
So they do give a hit on the initial trot to first. And then they end up giving the error on the advancement to second. First pitch is outside to Angel Zarate. He has walked twice today, ended up scoring both times on the base paths. Still nobody out, runner on second. The lead now extended 7-0. Hillcats on top of the Red Sox. And the 1-0 pitch. Off the plate, below the knees. And the count now 2-0. Really, really struggling to locate the strike zone right now is Raylan Perez. Taking his time, now toes the rubber once again. Large lead at second there by Benjamin. And the 2-0 on the way. Swung on, fouled away into left, sky high up over the netting. And into the crowd, makes it a 2-1 count. Wind has calmed down a little bit, blowing into left. It was howling throughout most of the early portions of this ball game. And the 2-1. This is a fastball missiled in there at 91, painting the outside corner. And the count now even at 2-2. Sun's still shining. Temperatures dip down to about 65 degrees here in Salem. Righty on lefty matchup. The 2-2. Down in the dirt, and the count now worked full by Angel Zarate. The UNC product, former Tar Heel, the last 5 seasons playing in Chapel Hill. Runner on second. Nobody out. And the payoff pitch. Swing and a miss. Got Zarate to golf at that one. Got him 85 miles an hour on the off speed. And the first out of the fourth inning. So interestingly enough, as we continue to look at the scorecard here, no error was given on that miscommunication between Ravello and Liendo. Regardless, here's Guy Lipscomb, the designated hitter, and he looks in, ball one to the outside, count now 1-0. Giovanni Heater joined alongside Tyler Katz with you on a sunny evening here in Southwest Virginia. The 1-0 pitch. This one swung on, hit on a rope out into right, and it's through for a base hit. Benjamin rounds third. He's heading home. Heading for second is Lipscomb, and he will be in there safely with an RBI double. Makes it an 8-0 ball game. 7 hits on the day for the Hillcats, and it's all Lynchburg here in Salem.
I mean, this is just a dominant showing by Lynchburg, and it's not just a freak inning. This has been every inning so far, with exception of the second, in which Lynchburg has dominated the Salem Sox. On a runner go and stolen base of third now. And just that Lynchburg is so good on the base paths as well. Entered with only 2 caught stealings on the season on 30 attempts, and they're just running all over the Sox right now.
Well, an easy bag by Lipscomb to get his way over to third, and now we're going to have ourselves a mound visit here. Liam Carroll not out there, though. It is the pitching coach, Jason Blanton, So Blanton makes the trot to the mound in his second year. Made the transition to Salem as a pitching coach after serving in the Fort Myers Complex League for 2021 and 2022. Now in his first year with the Red Sox. Second time, though, he's made this trot to the mound. First time, obviously, though, with Raylan Perez.
We mentioned stolen bases. Lynchburg's up to 7 tonight. We're in the top of the 4th inning. 7 stolen bases now puts Lynchburg up to 35 stolen bases on the season on 37 attempts.
Mike Collado, the lefty, steps back on in. Faces a 1-0 count with one down and a runner on third. Here's the pitch. It's outside and low in the count now 2-0. 92 miles an hour on the fastball from Raylan Perez. Salem coming off the heels of a 4-2 series win in Carolina. The 2-1 rifled on the ground up the middle, threw for a base hit, passing diving Ravello, and it's an RBI single for Mike Collado as Lipscomb comes in to score. 9-0. It's all Hillcats once again.
And this one's looking like it's getting ugly. The Hillcats clearly wanted to be the first team to get 594 wins.
Back-to-back RBI base hits. Here's Manuel Mejias as he looks in the first pitch. Inside count now 1-0, 85 on the off-speed. Mejias tonight started the ball game with an RBI double. Lined out to right field on a loud out after that. Made good contact all night long. Runner on first with one away, the 1-0 pitch. Swung on, chopped on the ground, coming on is Liendo. Skies high with a grab, throws to first in time for out number two. It does advance Collado over to second. There will be a runner in scoring position with two away. 4-3 on the put out to retire Mejias.
And take,
oh, go ahead, TK.
Just wanted to say take the out. If you're Salem here, you desperately need them. It's fine advancing a runner up to second base if you can record one of those desperately needed outs.
No doubt. Here's Jose Devers, the shortstop. First pitch, chopped on the ground. Coming on again is Liendo. He's able to scoop it up. Runs into his pitcher in Perez. And coming in to score is Collado. Have you ever seen something like that, TK? The pitcher and the second baseman colliding going after a ground ball chopped in the infield.
Well, it's the same thing, miscommunication, and it seems like Liendo isn't telling or isn't communicating, and it looks like he may be a bit shaken up on the play. But you talk about Abram Liendo, the second baseman, Venezuelan native, a native Spanish speaker, Raylan Perez, a native Spanish speaker. Sometimes in professional baseball, there's a bit of a language barrier. No such case between Liendo Feliz and Perez, who's on the mound, but yet there's been communication issues.
Well, here we are, 4 runs already with 2 away in the top of the 4th. It makes it a 10-0 ball game regardless as Liendo continues to be examined here. And as we look to see what they rule that, it goes in as a single for Jose Devers. No error on the play. Tyler, your thoughts?
There have been 2 errors that I would initially put in my scorebook, but I can see how both of them have been given hits.
Well, it ends up being an RBI for him as well, as coming home to score was Collado. Mixer Sadui now facing an 0-1 count. The lefty digging in. 2 down, runner on first. 4 runs by the Hillcats here in the top of 4. The 0-1. Fastball in there at 90, just inside, and the count now even at a ball and a strike. Chris Janke calling balls and strikes behind home plate today. Michael Corbett out in the field. 2 umpires per usual here at Salem Memorial. The 1-1 swung on. This one hit on the ground softly over to Ravello at short. Throws to first in time to finally retire the inning. 6-3 put out, sits down the Hillcats, but not without scoring 3 runs. They did so on 1, 2, 3, 4 hits. No errors and 1 left on base. We'll see you after this from the bottom of the 4th. This is Salem Red Sox Baseball on MILB TV. Home half of the fourth here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. Hi, everybody. I'm Giovanni Heater. Joined alongside Tyler Katz with you. A gorgeous evening for baseball here in the mountains of Southwest Virginia. 10-0. Lynchburg all on top of Salem as Juan Chacon waves and misses at a 78-mile-an-hour off-speed pitch from Juan Zapata in the count now 0-1. Zapata now entering his fourth inning of work. And the 0-1 on the way. This one, check swing, high and tight. And the count now even at a ball and a strike as Chacon, the designated hitter, able to hold off of that one. He struck out in his first at-bat. Salem backs against the wall, down 10. Here's the 1-1. Swung on, this one laced on the ground. Over to the third base, down the left field line. Gloved by Benjamin. The throw to first is there for out number one. 5-3 put out, sits down Chacon in the bottom of the fourth, and this will bring up Luis Ravello. He struck out in his first at-bat as well. 5 strikeouts already on the day for Juan Zapata. And the first pitch, swung on, chopped on the ground sharply over to Felia at first. He gloves it, steps on his own bag, and there's two away just like that. Ronald Rosario, the catcher, up next now for Salem. One of two Red Sox with a hit so far today. Miguel Blaise started with a double, ended up getting a single in the third as well. And the other Red Sox with a hit, Ronald Rosario, with a single in the second. First pitch to the righty. Inside at 79, and the count now 1-0. Ronald Rosario batting 300 on this season, had a home run at Carolina in the last series. The 1-0. This one finds its way over the plate. The count now 1-1, 90 miles an hour on the radar gun on the fastball. Zapata nods his head, kicks and deals the 1-1. Below the knees on an 84-mile-an-hour off-speed pitch, and the count now 2 balls and a strike. Salem's had some opportunities, left three guys on base as this one chops sharply foul down the left field line, and the count now 2-2. They left two aboard, both in scoring position their last time out. Two down, nobody on, 10-0. Hillcats lead it over the Red Sox here in the bottom of four. 2-2 pitch on the way. Swung on. This one laced for a base hit out and to left. It's going to roll all the way to the track. Rosario rounds first. He'll trot into second with a stand-up two-out double. Ronald Rosario giving the Sox a little bit of offense. Now he's 2-for-2 for the day. Both Miguel Blaise and Ronald Rosario 2-for-2. Everybody else hitless.
Yeah, I mean, for those have been the two guys producing for Salem. The problem is when Salem's gotten base runners, it's come with at least one out in the inning, and it's usually too late to do something with it.
Here's the third baseman, Lionel James, righty-on-righty matchup. And the first pitch, swung on, chopped on the ground, foul down the left field line, and it makes it an 0-1 count. James batting 200, 0-for-1 on the day, hit into a 6-4-3 double play his first time up. Steps to the plate for the second time this afternoon. And the 0-1 on the way. Off the plate at 85, count now even at a ball and a strike. Two away, runner on second. In the stretch, standing up straight now is Zapata. The 1-1 offering, swung on, fouled backwards, and the count now 1-2. On deck would be Albert Feliz and Abram Liendo in the 8-9 hole for the Red Sox. Really need to bring in some runs here, down 10-0 in the fourth. Crowd getting impatient here in Salem. The 1-2. Swung on, skied up into the air on a flare out at a shallow right. Coming on, making the catch on the grab was Sadui on the run. And that will retire the inning. Salem doesn't score. They do pick up one hit on the double from Ronald Rosario. No errors and one left on base. We head to the top of the fifth after this. 10-0 Lynchburg on top. This is Salem Red Sox Baseball on MILB TV. Welcome back here on MILB TV. Salem Memorial Ballpark, the site of this evening's matchup between two 460 rivalry contenders. Lynchburg Hillcats in town to face off against their rivals in the Salem Red Sox. They lead it 10-0 over the Sox. First pitch is fouled away, and the count now 0-1 for Mark Filia. Filia so far today, hitting in the nine hole, was hit by a pitch, and he struck out looking. This one is roped on the ground out into right, and it is down for a line drive. Base hit. 10 hits now on the day. Double-digit runs, double-digit hits for the Hillcats. They're having themselves an offensive explosion, and that's how we lead things off here at the top of the fifth from Salem.
Well, Mark Filia, a guy with only two base hits so far this season, make it three with that single into right.
Despite the struggles, Raylan Perez remains in the ballgame for the Sox. First pitch to Nate Furman, finds the zone, painting the upper corner on the outside half, and the count now 0-1, 90 on the fastball. Runner on first, nobody out, is the 0-1. Just inside on the breaking stuff, and the count now 1-1, and it looks like we have a balk here as a free base for Filia. One ball, one strike. 10-0, Lynchburg on top of Salem. The series is tied all time. Here's the 1-1. 87 miles an hour on the changeup, paints the inner corner in the count now 1-2 for Nate Furman. He struck out, advanced on a fielder's choice, and walked so far today. 593-593 heading into tonight, dating back to 1968. Two below the knees, the count now. Now it's 1-2. So I think with the balk, they did not count the pitch, and now it's a ball and two strikes. Despite the pitch being thrown. Perez, the 1-2 offering, outside off the plate, and the count now 2-2 on the breaking ball. Runner on second, nobody out. Red Sox wearing their navy caps, white jerseys, reading Red Sox across the front, white pants. 2-2. Swung on this one, driven out into right, and it's down for a base hit. Swinging around third is Felia, decides to pump the brakes, and there's runners on the corners here with nobody out. 11 hits on the day for the Hillcats.
Three pitchers have come in, all have allowed multiple hits. Just seems like the Hillcats cannot be stopped today.
They're really seeing it. Still only the top of the fifth with double-digit runs and double-digit hits this afternoon. Here's Juan Benjamin. Ended up scoring, has two hits, he's 2-for-3. First pitch is a fastball upstairs in the count now 1-0. Runners on the corners, still nobody out, and the top of the fifth from Salem Memorial Ballpark. The 1-0 offering. Swing and a miss. Got him with a high fastball. And the count now even at a ball and a strike. So we mentioned how we're tied 593 apiece since 1968. But I bet what you did not know, Tyler, is that back in July of 1976, here's the 1-1. This one lifted high into the air, skying foul out into left. Doinks off of the three-notched corner bar out in left field. And the count now 1-2. Back in 1976, and then again in 2011, here's the 1-2 offering. Outside at 83, and the count now 2-2. Runners on the corners, nobody out. These two teams did something that you'll rarely ever see, separated by about an hour and a half. And the 2-2 pitch. Rings him up looking. Perez gets him with the 83-mile-an-hour changeup, swings into the zone, and Benjamin walks back to the dugout, shaking his head. Only the second strikeout for Raylan Perez. This will bring up Angel Zarate, North Carolina product, the lefty, a righty-on-lefty matchup, one away with runners on the corner. Here's the first pitch. Runner goes from first. Rosario wants nothing to do with it, and it's a stolen bag for Nate Furman, now two runners in scoring position. So separated by an hour and a half, these two teams did something twice in both 76 and 2011. They played in the same day, but at the each opposing ballpark. This one is fouled away, making the count 0-2, with one away and runners on second and third. So they play in here in Salem in the 11 o'clock game that went out to Lynchburg, with the trip down 460 to play in the 7 o'clock game. The 0-2 pitch below the knees, and the count now 1-2, 84 on the off speed. And you might ask why. Well, at the times it was 4th of July in 1976. It was the bicentennial season. As far as America's bicentennial year, that July 4th was 200 years of America existing. And so as a special occasion, they wanted to do a 4th of July game at each ballpark as this one misses up high on the fastball and the count 2-2. So I thought that was an interesting tidbit. Rare you'll see someone play at two different ballparks, 2-2 fouled away, in the same day. You'd think, well, what's the point? And the reason being, they wanted to spend the 4th of July, do something special.
You happen to know the reason for that 2011 doubleheader?
I don't. I don't know the reason, but that was also a 4th of July game. Here's the 2-2. Swung on, hit on the line down the right field line, and stepping on the bag is Feliz for the out. That makes it two away, but it does score a run. So Zarate is out, but coming in to score was Felia. Makes it an 11-0 ball game as Furman is in safely at third as well. So an RBI for Zarate. Here's Guy Lipscomb, the designated hitter. 2-for-3 on the day. Gets a hold of this one, hitting it out into center. Going underneath it is Roman Anthony, and he makes the catch about 10 feet away from the warning track out in left center for out number 3. We'll step aside when we come back. Bottom of the 5th coming up in Salem. It's all Hillcats. 11-0. Lynchburg on top. This is Red Sox Baseball on MILB TV. Welcome back here on MILB TV. Giovanni Heater joined alongside Tyler Katz with you as the first pitch gets away. Albert Feliz, the righty at the dish for the Salem Red Sox. Playing over at first tonight. Grounded out to short in his first at-bat. 11-0. A big lead for Lynchburg over Salem in round one. The 460 rival. 1-0 pitch, 90 miles an hour. Finds the zone, and the count now 1-1 on the fastball. One pitch. Well outside. This one gets away from Mejias again. And the count now 2-1. Bottom of the 5th here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. 11 hits as well for Lynchburg. 4 for the Red Sox. The 2-1. This one hit on the ground, foul down the left field line. And the count now even at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Two gets away. And the count now 3-2. Count worked full. New pitcher on the bump for the Hillcats. Zachary Jacobs winds and fires. And this is going to be a walk. Worked by Albert Feliz.
First leadoff batter to get aboard for Salem. We've been talking about how the rallies for the Red Sox have been coming with an out already in the inning and time just running out. Maybe a change of fortune with the leadoff runner getting aboard.
Jacobs, a righty, 6'1", 170. 21-year-old out of San Dimas, California. So we get a balk, which allows Albert Feliz a free bag over to second. Second balk we've seen today, called by Michael Corbett, officiating in the field. Abram Liendo, the 9-hole hitter, in the left-handed batter's box for the Red Sox. As a conversation is taking place between second baseman Nate Furman and, again, the new pitcher into the ball game, Zachary Jacobs. Back to baseball we go. Jacobs holding the ball back behind his back, puts it in his mitt at the belt, kicks and deals the first pitch. And it's outside, count now 1-0. Runner on second, nobody out, 11-0, a large lead for the Hillcats. The 1-0 pitch, swung on, this one hit on a line, skips off the glove of Furman. Leando got himself a base hit, puts runners on the corners with nobody out, and the offense all of a sudden in a little bit of business here for the Red Sox.
And just what I was mentioning of the hits were coming with already outs in the inning. Maybe it took a pitching change. There's a lot of baseball left. You count them up, 5 innings in total, including this one left to play for Salem. Who's not to say 11 runs going to be scored in that time?
Would be an unbelievable comeback, but still not out of reality, no doubt. Runners on the corners, nobody out. And here is Roman Anthony as he calls time. The center fielder grounded out and walked so far today. Could really use a big blast here.
No, we'll get a pitch clock violation. Our first one here, it's an automatic ball.
All right. You're right, TK. Good eyes on that one. And this is a pitch inside at 89. And the count quickly 2-0 now for Roman Anthony. Anthony 6'2", 200. A big frame on him. Out of Stoneman Douglas High School. This one gets away on a wild pitch. It'll score the first run of the day. Feliz comes in to score. Abram Leando slides into third safely. Still nobody out with a 3-0 count on a wild pitch. Salem on the scoreboard. It's 11-1. An unconventional way to score, but you'll take it.
And a good job by Leando to get on his horse and get all the way up to third base.
The 3-0 to Roman Anthony finds the zone at 90 on the fastball, and the count now 3-3.
No, he tosses
it away, and yeah, he will take the walk. He stayed there for a second.
I don't think that he knew that first pitch was a pitch clock violation, because technically he only watched 3 balls go by him.
True. So it is a walk over to first for Anthony. Still nobody out. And again, runners on the corners for Salem, down 11-1. Trying to manufacture some offense here. Not a better bat to be at the dish. 2-for-2 on the day. Miguel Blaze steps in the right-handed batter's box. The first pitch outside and away at 91 on the fastball in the dirt. And the count now 1-0. A double to lead things off on his day. And then a single in the third. Third time at the plate for Miguel. 11-1, Hillcats on top. The 1-0 pitch. Down inside, and the count now 2-0. 5 hits for Salem, 11 on the other side for Lynchburg. Quite the differential, but still plenty of baseball left to be played here in the bottom of 5. The 2-0 to Blaze, swung on, hit sharply right back towards the Salem dugout and left, and the count now 2-1. Miguel Blaze, as of late, didn't have his best stuff in Carolina necessarily. As Jacobs checks over to first, sliding in safely is Anthony. It's Anthony occupying first and Leando occupying third. He got there from first due to a wild pitch that allowed him to snag 2. The 2-1 pitch. Swung on, driven out into left. It's down for a base hit. Leando will come on in to score. Anthony pumps the brakes at second. Miguel Blaze is 3-for-3 on the day, and he's got himself his first RBI in the afternoon.
And Blaze clearly feeling a lot more comfortable. here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. Did have a pretty good series in Carolina, but not the stuff that we saw from him here in that Delmarva series a week ago.
He's got now 12 hits on this season. This brings up Alan Castro, the left fielder. First pitch to Castro is a breaking ball that finds the outer corner, and the count now 0-1. The left fielder has struck out swinging twice now today. If he can find a way to get going, he is one for his last 22. This one well inside, might have hit Castro. It's a wild pitch regardless that gets away from Mejias, and it will bring Roman Anthony over to third and Miguel Blaise to second.
Well, Lynchburg goes to their bullpen, which so far has been probably the biggest hiccup.
I think that did hit Castro because he's taking the trot to first. Yeah, it must have just nicked him. It must have hit him on the foot. So bring up Juan Chacon, the designated hitter. Grounded out and struck out today. The infield now converging, and we are probably going to get a substitution here. No, this is the pitching coach, Tony Arnold. Not the manager in Jordan Smith. Arnold wearing 17, Smith wearing 39, so he will stay in the game. But Zachary Jacobs struggling a little bit here so far in his outing.
Well, I was mentioning Lynchburg has really struggled with its bullpen so far this year. Starters have been locked down great. We'll see Parker Messick, who's probably Lynchburg's ace, a bit later in this series. But the bullpen has been where it falls apart. Now, luckily for Lynchburg, their starter Juan Zapata has helped them build to that 11-0 lead. But if Salem starts chipping away, I mean, we talked about most runs in an inning in our trivia question today. New record possibly being set today. There's still no outs in the inning, bases loaded. Of course, all hypothetical and a far way away from that. But for Salem, that's something you have to think about.
Here's Juan Chacon. This 90-mile-an-hour fastball peppered in over the plate, and the count now 0-1 for Chacon. Jacobs today giving up two hits, two runs, both of them earned, and two walks, no strikeouts. He just entered in this inning, still has not produced an out. Here's the 0-1. Swung on, this one flared out at a right. This thing is down for a base hit. It'll score one. The bases will remain loaded. Now there's three runs on the board for the Red Sox. They make it an 11-3 ball game on an RBI single off the barrel of Juan Chacon. That one just flared out into right, dropped in there perfectly for a bloop single.
And as we're able to take a look at a replay here, just barreled it up perfectly, goes opposite way is Chacon. But I like the idea to play station to station. Why take away the ability for more runs to score later or a bigger hit without the runner at third?
How about this one skied out, carrying towards foul territory. Underneath it to make the grab for the first out is Zarate. But tagging up and scoring is Miguel Blaise. 11-4. Salem still producing offense, and there's only one down on the tag up. A sac fly for Luis Ravello on the first pitch he sees.
Not too often you see a sac fly in foul territory, but that's exactly what happened. A nice heads-up play by Miguel Blaise to know that he had enough time to beat the throw from Zarate out in left field.
So Castro remained at second. Juan Chacon remained over at first. Here's Ronald Rosario. He's 2-for-2 on the day. And the first pitch, and he looks it in at 80 miles an hour, right at the numbers, and the count now 0-1. 11-4, seven hits for the Sox, making a little bit of noise here. In the bottom of the fifth, they've scored all four in this frame. Here's the 0-1. Outside at 81, and the count now 1-1 on the off-speed. Runners on first and second, still only one down. A single to start out in the second, and a double in the fourth for Ronald Rosario. The 1-1. Inside, down at the ankles, had to brush his legs away to avoid getting hit by that pitch at 91 on the fastball, and the count now 2-2. Jacobs, the righty, kicks and deals the 2-1. Swung on, fouled back into the crowd and right. This one is a screamer. Avoids any fans in attendance. By the way, a decent crowd here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. 6:05 first pitch here on a Tuesday afternoon. Here's the 2-2. A below the knees, trying to frame that thing up was Mejia's. Home plate umpire Chris Janke was not fooled, and the count worked full here by Rosario. Tomorrow we have ourselves an 11 a.m. first pitch.
Education
yes.
day.
Here's the 3-2. Swung on, chopped on the ground, over to third. The throw to second is in time to grab one out. There's two away with runners on the corners now. And now Liam Carroll might be coming out to challenge this thing because everybody in the ballpark is saying, hey, that might have pulled Furman off the bat. TK, what'd you see?
I think it was a bang-bang play. Obviously, we might be the furthest people in the ballpark from second base. I thought it was an out personally from an unbiased standpoint, but obviously there were a lot of people closer to the bag, including Juan Chacon, who was called out.
I also thought it was out. I didn't think there was a ton of debate. He was pulled off, but I thought he was pulled off after the throw got to his glove. Yeah, back to baseball we will go. So the ruling will stay. So Chacon thrown out at second. It advances Castro over to third, and Rosario aboard on a fielder's choice at first. Runners on the corners, two away. Here's Lionel James. The first pitch. Paints the inside corner at 79 on the off speed, and it's 0-1. James today hit into a 6-4-3 double play. Also flew out to right field. Jacobs the 0-1 offer. Swing and a big miss at 90. Blew the fastball right past him, and quickly it's 0-2 for James. Regardless of what happens here, yes, of course, you'd like to score more and not leave two aboard, but to bite a chunk out of this lead and score four here in the bottom of the fifth is production of your Salem. The 0-2 swung on this one, skied way up into the air, out into shallow right, into foul territory. Triangle forms, and it's dropped by Felia, the first baseman. It does not fall into fair territory. It's just outside. So the runners on the corners will remain, but staying alive at 0-2 is Lionel James. Can he take advantage of an opportunity?
Well, he was really given a second life here and a more or less miracle to continue that at bat, as that should have been an easy flyout for Felia, or pop out, I should say.
The 0-2 offering again. This one swung out, flared out to right up over the head of Felia. It's a base hit. An RBI single will end up scoring one. Alan Castro crosses home plate. 11-5, Red Sox on the comeback. A five-run inning here in the bottom of the fifth, and with an extra life. It's like Easter Sunday as Lionel James puts another run on the board, and that's going to do it for Zachary Jacobs today.
Yeah, he pitches to nine batters, only records two outs, and one of them on a what the Salem Sox thought was a questionable call. So Jacobs allowing five runs and potentially more as he's responsible for the runners at first and second. And a nice job for Salem to bat around despite being down by 11 to make this a much more manageable ballgame.
So James comfortably in there at first on the RBI single. After now batting around, Ronald Rosario over there at third, and a new pitcher on the hill coming for Lynchburg. Jack Jeziak stepping on in. And that neon jersey with the navy cap and the gray pants taking his warm-up pitches.
Yeah, we'll see what Jeziak is able to do. The USF Bull made his professional debut earlier this season. Has a 9 ERA in just four innings of work. Is trying to settle down, but did allow three runs in two innings of work his last time out against Myrtle Beach. The Hillcats would much rather that not be the case today against the Red Sox, as a lot of life and a lot of momentum is the way of Salem right now.
Jeziak out of Naperville, Illinois, drafted just this past offseason to the Cleveland Guardians, round 12, pick number 361. In the 2022 MLB draft. Runners on the corners for the Red Sox. And now up for the second time this inning, Albert Feliz will step in for the Sox. One more warm-up pitch, and here comes Feliz. He walked and was hit home his first time around this inning, so grounded out on a 6-3 putout back in the third. So we see Feliz now for the second time. Standing in the right-handed batter's box with runners on the corners, two away. 11-5 your score. Hillcats on top of the Red Sox. The first pitch. Outside off the plate at 92 on the fastball, and it's 1-0.
What a talent Jaziak was for USF as well. A 1.32 ERA in his final season with the Bulls.
1-0, laced out and a left, down for a base hit. How about this for the Red Sox? Rosario scores. It's an RBI double. Runners on second and third.
What an inning. I mean, you talk about a team down 11-0. I'm sure a lot of teams would more or less lose morale in that moment going down 11 early, but the Salem Sox scoring 6 runs in the bottom of the fifth to make it a 5-run game, and you can tell by the mood of that dugout right now, they're not done.
It's Lionel James on third, first pitch to Abram Liendo outside, and the count now 1-0. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, we got ourselves a ball game here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. 1-0 pitch to the righty. Well off the plate at 91, and the count now 2-0. Runners on second and third, two down. Salem has produced the majority of their runs, three of them actually, with two outs. Jaziak, the 2-0. Outside, and the count now 3-0. A walk would put the bases loaded for the Sox, and it would bring up the top of the order in Roman Anthony. The 9-hole hitter, Liendo, ready on lefty matchup. The 3-0 pitch. This one, a get-me-over strike right over the plate at 90 miles an hour. And the count now 3-1. Liendo coming off the heels of what was a single earlier in this very inning, bottom of the fifth. The 3-1. Swung on, roped over the head of Furman at second. It'll score another run on an RBI single. Two singles in the same inning, now an error. And we'll get another run that scores for the Red Sox. How about this? Out of nowhere, we're within three. It's an 11-8 ball game. Both Feliz and Lionel James come home to score, one of them being on an error, and Liendo with an RBI.
What an inning, and I was more or less halfway joking earlier this inning when I mentioned that it could be a new run record for the Salem Red Sox, but putting up an 8 spot so far, we're not too far off of that now.
First pitch to Roman Anthony is over the plate at 85, and the count now 1-0. Still two outs, this time a runner on second. Jaziak glances over to second. Winds and fires the 0-1. Swung on, hit on the ground into right. Coming on, making the glove is Felia. Throws to his pitcher to first base to finally end the inning. But what a frame for the Sox. They put 8 on the board and bring it back within 3 in the bottom of the fifth. This is Salem Red Sox baseball on MILB TV. Welcome back here at Salem Memorial Ballpark, where all of a sudden we have ourselves a ball game. Quickly, a bunt laid down, scooped up by Brock Bell. He bobbles it. It'll go in the books as an error. And all just like that, Mike Collado on with a squared up bunt in the first pitch that he sees. And now they're going to rule this thing a hit. 12th hit of the day for Lynchburg. Tyler, what'd you see? I thought with the bobble, you'd see an error. What are your thoughts?
I think it was a really tough play there for Brock Bell to make. It could have gone either way. There was a bobble. I think he beats it out even if that play is made.
Where he's Manuel Mejia's first pitch, swing and a miss. Got him with the off speed. That one really moved because it looked in and then just rushed right off the plate. Count now 0-1 for Mejia's. It was 1-for-3 on the day. Here's the 0-1. Swung on, skied out into left, trailing into foul territory, and it'll doink right on top of the three-notched corner bar out in left field. Count now 0-2. Runner on first, nobody out. Salem dropped an 8-piece in the bottom of the fifth to make it an 11-8 game. The 0-2. Swing and a miss, blew the high fastball right by him.
Mejia's was swinging for the fences there, nearly out of his shoes, as that was a big wave of air. I'm pretty sure Miguel Blaise out in right field could feel a puff of wind about 5 seconds later from that big swing.
First strikeout of the day for Brock Bell. This brings up Jose Devers, who has a pair of hits today. First pitch to the righty is upstairs at 80, and the count now 1-0. Well, speaking of Brock Bell, the new arm on the bump, fourth one Salem has thrown today. 6'4", 215 out of Tampa, Florida. A 25-year-old as he winds and fires the 1-0, and it's upstairs, count now 2-0 on the offspeed. Drafted in the seventh round in 2019 by Boston. Committed to Auburn out of JUCO and chose to play pro. Swing and a miss on the 2-0 and a fastball upstairs, and the count now 2-2. Played at State College of Sarasota for the Manatees in his JUCO ball. 2-1 pitch on the way. Swing and a miss. Got him with the fastball again, and it's 2-2. Made his pro debut in July of 2015 in what was the Gulf Coast League, now the Florida Complex League. Tops out at 97 on that fastball. This one is rifled out into center. Coming on is Anthony. It drops in front of him for a base hit. Two base knocks on Brock Bell, and with one down, there's runners on first and second. Jose Devers, three hits in a row, and his trips to the dish for the Hillcats. All of them singles. This time, no RBI. Here's Lexer Sadoy. Lefty steps on in. Brock Bell, the son of MLB All-Star Jay Bell. First pitch whiffed on. The off-speed fooled Sadoui. The count now 0-1. Older brother Brantley is a third baseman in the Cincinnati Reds organization. Began his JUCO career as a two-way player. This one roped back right up to him. Skips over second base for a base hit. Rounding and coming home is Collado. He will score. 12-8 the ball game. Lynchburg extends it to a four-run lead on the RBI single off the barrel of Lexer Sadoui. Pitching, man, that's been the situation for both teams today. That's why it's such a high-scoring affair here in the top of six. We're almost 2 hours into baseball, and we're still in the sixth, which with the pitch clock, that trend is a little bit longer of a game, and you see that resulting with what's on the scoreboard. Standing on third is Jose Devers. First pitch crushed out into left. Coming on, though, to make the grab is Castro. Tagging up and now scoring is Devers. 13-8 on the sack fly.
Well, Lynchburg's doing a nice job of not letting that eight spot by Salem in the bottom of the fifth demoralize them, putting up another two runs in the top half of the sixth to push it back to a five-run game.
Still a runner on first is Sadoui after the RBI single. Brings up the top of the order in Nate Furman. First pitch to Furman. Lays down a bunt, trickles foul and left. 0-1. Salem with an 8-piece in the bottom of the fifth. The Hillcats, though, responding, keeping the trend alive. The only time they haven't scored and manufactured runs was in the top of two. Three in the first, three in the third, four in the fourth, one in the fifth, now two in the sixth, and we're still going with two away. Runner on first, 0-1 the count, two down. The 0-1 from Bell. Upstairs on a fastball, and the count now even at a ball and a strike. Furman today looked in a strike to end his leadoff at bat. Fielder's choice advancement, a walk, and he did get a base hit. Gunning for first and getting hit by the ball here is Sadui. He slides in safely. So a stolen bag for Sadui as he ends up soaking the ball on his calf. Runner in scoring position with two away. 2-1 the count for Nate Furman. Bell in the stretch glances behind him at second. Kicks and deals the 2-1. Side at 82. The count now 3-1. A hitter's count, rather. Sun going down. Starting to get a little chilly here with the wind in Salem. Lights are on. Carilion Clinic Field, the 3-1. This fastball is in there to make it a full count. A strike ends the inning. A walk keeps it alive for the Hillcats. They've already scored two in the top of the sixth. 13-8. The payoff pitch. Swing and a miss. Got him with the high off speed that time. It's been the high fastball with the strikeouts. Instead, he went with the off speed pitch. Second strikeout of the inning there for Brock Bell. Head now to the bottom of the sixth. Salem trails by five, but it's an offensive onslaught from both teams today in the New River Valley. This is Salem Red Sox Baseball on MILB TV. Bottom of the shift, sixth here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. Hi, everybody. I'm Giovanni Heater, joined alongside Tyler Katz with you. Thanks for choosing to spend your Tuesday evening with us here at the ballpark. 13-8, Lynchburg on top of Salem. Leading things off is Miguel Blaise as he looks in ball one and the count now 1-0. Still on the bump, the third pitcher that the Hillcats have thrown, Jack Jeziak. He winds and fires the 1-0. Below the knees again, this time a 91-mile-an-hour fastball. And the count now 2-0 for Blaise, who is 3-for-3 on the day with an RBI, a pair of singles and a double. 2-0 to Blaise. Swung on, lifted out into the air into shallow left center. Coming on is the center fielder. He calls off Zarate and Lipscomb. Reels it in for out number one.
Well, an eight spot for the Red Sox. Other than that, they've been quiet. Nothing in the first four frames. Now a quick out to Miguel Blaise, who was 3-for-3. The question is can Salem re-spark that magic at the bottom of the fifth?
Here's Alan Castro, the switch hitter choosing lefty in this at-bat. Righty on lefty matchup. It's a ball to the outside at 84, and the count now 1-0 for Alan Castro. Castro today hit by a pitch and a pair of strikeouts, looking for some offensive production. One of his last 22. The 1-0 is outside at 89, and the count now 2-0 for Castro. Alan Castro, a great defender, plays in the outfield for the Red Sox. The 2-0 pitch, swing and a miss. Blew the fastball right past him, and the count now 2 balls and a strike. Castro out of Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. Switch hitter, the 19-year-old does throw right. International free agent back in July of 2019. The 2-1, swung on, chopped on the ground sharply into right, foul. And it's 2-2. Signed as a middle infielder, moved to the outfield in 2021. Participated in the fall performance program in 2021. Played in the Dominican Summer League that same summer. Played in the Florida Complex League a year ago and earned a promotion to Salem after the season. Now entering his second year with the Red Sox. The 2-2. Swing and a miss, and that sits him down on strikes. Third strikeout of the day. The struggles continue here for Castro.
Yeah, hat trick of strikeouts for Castro on a 4-game hitless streak. And unless things change, it's going to move up to 5.
First strikeout of the day for Jack Jasiak. Here's Juan Chacon, the designated hitter, coming off the heels of an RBI single. Nobody on, 2 away. The first pitch. And that one peppered in there at 91 inside the zone. Paints the outer corner, and the count now 0-1 for Chacon. Juan Chacon out of Valera, Venezuela, the 20-year-old. Looking at the 0-1. Well inside, pushes him right off the plate at 91, and the count now 1-1. Chacon made his pro debut in the Dominican Summer League back in 2021, received the largest bonus in Boston's 2019-2020 international class, the 1-1. Outside off the plate, another fastball, and that's now 2-1. Three consecutive fastballs. Pulled up to Salem after the DSL season in 2022, skipped the FCL completely. The 2-1. Inside at the ankles. Had a tiptoe away from that one, and it's 3-1. A hitter's count now for Juan Chacon with 2 away. Oh, there were 2 on the board when he was able to manufacture an RBI single. Now the 3-1 offering. Swung on, skied out of the air, dead center field towards the track. It is caught right at the wall by Lipscomb. Looked like off the bat it had a chance to get out of here. Just kind of died in the wind out in center field and ended up being a catch right at the wall. Juan Chacon with a very, very loud out to end the sixth. As Salem goes scoreless, they do so on no hits, no errors. They leave nobody on base. Top of the seventh on tap for you after this. This is Salem Red Sox Baseball on MILB TV. Top of the seventh here for you from Carilion Clinic Field out here in Salem. Juan Benjamin will get us going in the top of the seventh. 13-8 your score. Hillcats lead it over the Red Sox. Brock Bell remains on the bump for Salem. And Hameen, 2-for-4 today, a pair of singles, a line out, and a looking strikeout. The first pitch sizzled in there at 89, and it's a strike, painting the outside corner, and the count now 0-1. Out of Santiago, Dominican Republic, is Ben Hameen as he looks in strike number 2, this time the off-speed outside, just able to paint the outer corner, and the count now 0-2. Skies this one foul, staying alive at 0-2 as Ben Hameen got a hold of the fastball and was able to fight it off. Well, recently in 5 at-bats, ended up getting a hit. That was in his last series against Myrtle Beach. Had 3 hits the game before that on the 15th against Myrtle Beach as he looks in the first ball and then the second, and the count now quickly 2-2. Bell kicks the leg, then the 2-2 pitch. This one chopped foul down the left field line. And still alive at 2-2 is Ben Hameen. Batting .324 on the year with 5 RBIs. You'd say pretty darn good early on.
Yeah, no, Ben Hameen's been doing an awesome job at the plate. You talk about his 2-for-4 line today. He's going to be something special this season for the Hillcats.
The 2-2 upstairs, and the count worked full by Ben Hameen. Started down 0-2, now works it full. 13-8 again your score. Hillcats lead it by 5. The payoff pitch. Swung on, rifled into left. It's through for a base hit, trickling all the way into the far left corner. How about an extra base hit for Ben Hameen? Leadoff double to get things going in the top of the 7th.
Well, if it's any good news for Lynchburg right now, Ben Hameen, every time he's reached base today, has later come around to score.
It's Angel Zarate, the left fielder, left-handed batter, stepping in, righty-on-lefty matchup. Zarate again, the North Carolina product. Salem trying to stay in this thing down 5. The first pitch, swing and a miss, fooled him with the off-speed. He was swinging way early on that one. Looked like he was trying to chase it a high fastball. Instead, it was a breaking ball, and it got him big time. The 0-1 offering. Swung on. This one roped into right. Foul just by about a foot. Felice couldn't make a diving stop. Quickly down 0-2 is Zarate. Pitcher's count. Runner on second. Nobody out. Top of the 7th on a beautiful night in Salem. The 0-2 pitch. Well upstairs and away on the fastball. And the count now 1-2. How about the pro team today? The Boston Red Sox, Tyler, wearing their special home whites. Boston Strong, the 1-2. Looks like it was fouled away. Umpire and pitcher having a slight conversation as they exchange balls. And still alive at 1-2 is Zarate. Boston currently on top of Minnesota, 1-0. But they're wearing uniforms. Typically when they wear the whites, just like in Salem, it says Red Sox. Today on the chest it says Boston, in honor, of course, of the Boston Marathon. Here's the 1-2. Upstairs in the count now, 2-2. Also wore the yellow uniforms the other night.
At the City Connect, but I always really like this time of year for the city of Boston to be able to come together after the tragedy of those years ago, where it can come together as Boston Strong, and the Red Sox a big part of that.
Strikeout for Brock Bell, sits down Angel Zarate for the first strikeout of the inning. Strikeout number 3 for Brock Bell. There's Guy Liscombe, the designated hitter. Runner on second, 1 down, 13-8 to score, Hillcats lead. First pitch is swung on and missed. Got him with the changeup, was out in front of it again. And a first pitch off speed, again now by Bell, really starting to mix it up here.
Hey, if you can find the zone for a first pitch strike, keep going to it.
Bell kicks and deals the 0-1. Swung on, this one fouled in on the hands, deflected away in the left, and the count now 0-2, another 0-2 hole on 2 consecutive batters. Lipscomb today, a double and a single. Also flew out and struck out looking. Brock Bell glances to second from the belt. Kicks and deals the 0-2. Well upstairs on a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, and they count now 1-2. Join us tomorrow, 11:05 first pitch right here in Salem. Education Day at the ballpark. The 1-2 outside, and the count now 2-2 on the off-speed. Should be a fun one at the park.
I was going to say, it's supposed to be a beautiful day as well. 68 degrees, bright blue skies, and warming up as the game goes on.
Should be about 80 degrees by the time the game ends around 1, 2 o'clock. The 2-2. Up and in, and the count worked full. Runner on second, one away, and a full count after that breaking ball high and in. Just didn't quite break the way he thought it was going to.
Needs his best stuff here.
Payoff pitch. Swing and a miss. High off speed again. Kind of that changeup type of pitch. Chasing up high was Lipscomb, thinking it was going to be high cheddar. Instead, it slowed down and broke. And there's two away with back-to-back strikeouts from Brock Bell with a runner on second.
Four strikeouts in less than two innings of work right now for Brock Bell. Really some special stuff.
First pitch to Mike Collado, off speed away, in the count now 1-1. Collado today, he's been hot, 3-for-3 with a walk. The 1-0 delivery. This one snaps down into the zone on a breaking ball, and the count now even at a ball and a strike. Some of the crowd hanging around. It's thinned out slightly here on a Tuesday night in Salem. The 1-1. Fastball's in there at 90 in the count now 1-2. Salem trying to get out of this inning without giving up any insurance. 13-8 the lead, but with an 8-run inning in the fifth, Salem's still very in this. The 1-2 fouled back directly to the screen and will stay at a ball and a pair of strikes. Couple of loud fans, though, making their voices heard. There you go. A ball and a pair of strikes with two away and a runner on second. The pitch swung on, roped up the middle, down for a base hit. Scooped up by Anthony. The throw to home is cut off by the pitcher. And this will not end up being a situation where they can get out of it. So it will be an RBI single with two away from Mike Collado. Now he works to 4-for-4 on the day with a walk, TK. Can't ask for a better performance than that.
I was just about to mention, Mike Collado's having a very sneakily good game. Haven't been hearing ourselves say his name too much, but 4-for-4.
Here's Manuel Mejias. Check over to first. Doesn't matter. Collado is in there. Still two away. Still Brock Bell on the bump. First pitch to Mejias. Swung on, a dribbler. Scooped up foul by Rosario. Count now 0-1. Two down, runner on first. 14-8 your score. Now a 6-point advantage for the Hillcats. The 0-1. Swung on, this one hit on the ground. Coming on, making a diving grab, flipping it to second was Liendo. Just got away from Ravello. Would have been an absolutely unbelievable play, but just to get in front of that thing is impressive, because if it got through, you're talking about at least getting the third, if not scoring a run there for Collado. It is a base hit, though, for Manuel Mejias. And now this might be the day, as here comes Liam Carroll for Brock Bell.
This could be a situation where Bell only had five batters to get out of the inning. It could have been a pitch count situation. It also could have been the fact that he's allowed three hits this inning. Interesting to see Liam Carroll now going to his fifth pitcher, however, in game one of what's going to be a six-game series.
Not a bad day for Brock Bell. I mean, he did get the four strikeouts. Obviously not exactly what you're looking for, giving up the hits, but again, certainly not anything to be too upset with Brock Bell. The official tally for Bell, he ends up going 1.2 innings pitch, 1 2/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, 3 of them earned. But he does have those 4 strikeouts, did not give up a walk. So 2 away with runners on first and second. Salem looking to get out of the inning. Down 14-8, trying to give their offense a chance. They pulled an 8-piece in the 5th. New pitcher on the hill, Marques Johnson. Taking his warm-up pitches.
Johnson's been a guy who has struggled a bit so far this season, a 20.25 ERA. Last appearance against Carolina just a few days ago on the 15th. Pitched an inning, allowed 3 hits and 2 runs, but is a strikeout pitcher already. 5 Ks on the season at just 2 2/3 of work. The problem is when there's contact made, it's usually ending up as a base hit or a run.
Johnson, 6'2", 210 out of San Jose, California, the 22-year-old righty, drafted in the 11th round in 2022 by the Red Sox. Played at Long Beach State out of the Big West Conference. Their nickname, Tyler, we've said this before on the air, I'm probably going to say it every time that Marques Johnson is on the hill, the Dirtbags. And there's history behind that. It is pro debut just this season. Tops out at 97 on the fastball. The first pitch is swung on, skied out into deep right. Towards the track is Blaise, and he makes the catch on the first pitch to retire the inning as Devers flies out to right. That'll do it for the top of the 7th. Bottom half of the inning coming up after this. 14-8, Hillcats on top of the Red Sox. We'll be back. This is Salem Red Sox Baseball on MILB TV. Bottom of the 7th on tap for you here in Salem. 14-8, Lynchburg on top of the Red Sox. This brings up Luis Ravello to lead us off. The shortstop, the lefty. First pitch is just outside on an 84-mile-an-hour off-speed pitch. And the count now 1-0. Jack Jeziak still maintaining the mound for the Hillcats. The 1-0. This one finds the zone. 89 on the radar gun on the fastball, and the count now at a ball and a strike. Ravello today, one of the few Red Sox that didn't get in on the hit parade, did have a sack fly though his last time up. This one flared out into left, coming on and sliding to make a... No, he dropped it! Zarate couldn't quite maintain it. Will be a hit. So a single to lead things off for Luis Ravello here in the bottom of the seventh, and this is exactly what the doctor ordered if you're Salem.
Yeah, that leadoff runner getting the board. You take a look back in the scorebook, the last time the leadoff runner reached for Salem, the bottom of the fifth, when it was an eight spot for the Sox.
Ronald Rosario now in. First pitch is outside at 84, and the count now 1-0. Nobody out, runner on first, bottom of the seventh. Trailing by six are the Red Sox. Jerzyk glances to first. Checks over to first. Sliding in safely is Ravello. Still 1-0 for Ronnie Rosario. Batting .318 on the year, 2-for-3 today with a single and a double. The 1-0. Below the knees again, this time on a fastball in the dirt. The count now 2-0 for Rosario. Ronald Rosario out of Palnegro, Venezuela, the 20-year-old. This one inside again, brushing him off the plate, and it's 3-0 on a fastball. Last season averaged .244 in the FCL with 5 RBIs on 10 hits. Had 41 at-bats in 20 games, never hit a home run. This is his first year in Salem. Check over to first, in safely is Ravello. And you can hear some of the Salem faithful again being very active and into this ballgame. The 3-0 pitch. Inside on a fastball right at the chest. It's a four-pitch walk, and with nobody out, runners on first and second for the Sox.
And this looks nearly identical to that fifth inning. That inning started with the 8-9-1 Feliz, Liendo, and Anthony. Now starting middle of the pack, potentially better spot in the batting order.
So bring up Lionel James now. Runners on first and second. First pitch to James. It's outside of the count now, 1-0. One oh pitch on the way to James. This one high and in on a fastball, and the count now 2-0. Unable to throw strikes right now is Jack Jezia. This is 6 consecutive balls thrown outside of the zone. Jezik, the glance to second, winds and fires the 2-0. This one just over the plate on the inner corner at 90 miles an hour on the fastball. And it's 2-1. Two balls and a strike. Here's the pitch. Swung on, this one is a line drive out into right. This will score a run. Pumping the brakes over at first is Lionel James. It's an RBI single to put runners on the corners. Makes it a 14-9 ball game here in the bottom of the seventh.
Always good to have three straight batters reach. Even better when it's the first three batters of the inning. Still nobody out with Feliz, who was a big contributor back in that big fifth inning.
Coming in to score was Ravello. Rosario on third comfortably. James on first. Here's Albert Feliz coming off the heels of an RBI double. First pitch, 91 on the fastball. Outside and away. It's 1-0. And again, Jack Jezik struggling to locate the zone. Walks were a big part of helping the Red Sox get going in that bottom of the fifth where they put up an eight spot. The 1-0. Swung on, this one lifted high into the air, out towards deep left, towards the track. Coming onto it is Lipscomb, makes the grab. Tagging up now is Rosario. He will come on in to score. It's 14-10. Lionel James tags up from first, moves over to second as well. Sack fly for Albert Feliz, and there's only one away.
Well, the Red Sox can chip away and chip away all they want. At the end of the day, it's the other side when that's the top half of the inning. Through 7 innings of play, Lynchburg has scored in 6 of those 7 innings. So Salem can score and come back all they want, but they need to stop Lynchburg in the top half.
Abram Liendo looks ball 1 away, and the count now 1-0. Liendo, the 9-hole hitter, 2-for-3 on the day. Runner on second with 1 down. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Well outside at 89 on the fastball, and it's 2-0. Lionel James, the runner on second for the Sox. Jack Jeziak trying to find a way out of this thing. How about this? Skied out towards deep left, towards the track. Both guys giving chase. It's off the wall. Rounding third, coming home to score is Lionel James, and pumping the brakes for an RBI double to make it a three-run game is Abram Liendo in the nine hole.
And Liendo having now a 3-for-4 game, now an RBI double, had two singles, both of them coming in the fifth inning. Salem has a lot to work with right now. And as I mentioned, a big part of Salem's chances in this game are going to be how they respond in the top of the eighth and the top of the ninth against the Lynchburg batters.
Well, if you like offense, boy, do we have it for you here. Holy cow. Just a pitcher's mound visit, though, from pitching coach instead of head manager. So you see Tony Arnold instead of Jordan Smith. This might not be it necessarily, and is not it. Jack Jeziak, despite struggling here.
And Jeziak was locked down in the previous couple of innings, came in, did let up a run in the fifth inning, but a 1-2-3 sixth inning, and now the Salem Red Sox starting to get back to the bullpen of Lynchburg. Mentioned earlier, the bullpen for the Hillcats has been their one fatal flaw.
In 1 2/3, he's given up 5 hits, 4 earned runs, a walk, and a strikeout. Runner on second with one away. The pitch well outside off the plate, and it's 1-0 for Roman Anthony. 83 on the off speed. Liendo in second after his RBI double, and we're at the top of the order with Roman Anthony, one of the only hitless Red Sox today. It's 14-11. Hillcats still on top. 1-0 chopped on the ground towards third down the third baseline. Ben Hameen with the scoop throw to first, not in time. The dribbler ends up in a base hit for Roman Anthony. And now he's in the hit column for the Sox.
And Anthony needed that just to get some self-confidence back. He did walk twice, but now a 1-for-3 performance. Runners at the corners with potentially one of the most dangerous hitters in the lineup coming to the plate. If you're a Salem Sox fan, this is the time to tune in.
One of the most dangerous hitters in the lineup? How about the league? How about the entire Carolina League? Miguel Blaise, 3-for-4 on the day with a double and a pair of singles. First pitch, lifted high out to left, a very, very loud foul ball. Man, that had home run distance. Screamed out into left. Runners on the corners. One down, it's Miguel Blaise, the righty at the dish. One of the top prospects in the Red Sox organization. Check over to first, sliding in safely is Roman Anthony. And for the small amount of people in the ballpark, they're creating a lot of buzz and energy. Same with the dugout. The 0-1 to Blaise, well inside, pushes him off the plate, and 91 on the fastball, it's even at a ball and a strike.
Just had a quick word to speak to Salem team historian Jim Fulton. Mentioned to me that the Salem franchise record for most runs in a game combined between two teams, 29.
Wow. Here's the 1-1. Swung on, flared foul, carrying back into right behind the plate. Now it's 1-2 for Blaise. One down, runners on the corners. 14-11 this score. So you're at 25. Jim said we're heading that way. Salem trailing by 3. They've put up a 3-piece here in the bottom of the 7th. The 1-2 to Blaise. Swung on. This one hit on the ground. Coming onto it is Devers. Makes the grab. Throws to second. The throw to first is not there because it scrubs out of the glove of Filia. So a fielder's choice for Miguel Blaise. Nobody up moving either for the Sox.
Well, Gio, I'll tell you, this a run scored by Liendo. You'll
yes.
take that sacrifice here if you're Salem. Brings it back within 2.
Yes, excuse me, correction. I was looking at the third base coach.
Ah.
So Liendo does come in to score. Roman Anthony is thrown out. This one flared out into far shallow territory, and it is out of play. Counting out 0-1 for Alan Castro, the lefty.
We've talked about Castro's slump and how he is 0-for-3 today with three strikeouts. This is the time Salem has been getting to this pitcher, Castro. This is the time to break out of the slump if there's ever a time to do it.
Two-run game, 14-12. 17 hits for Lynchburg, 14 for Salem. Check over to first, sliding in safely, Miguel Blaise. Runner on first with two away. Big spot here for Alan Castro. The 0-1. Swung on, flared foul, now into left.
By the way, Gio, just wanted to bring up the Salem franchise record for most combined runs between two teams in a game. Mentioned it was 29. That was when the Lynchburg Mets defeated the Salem Pirates 15-14 back in 1977.
0-2, well off the plate at 85, and the 1-2 count now for Castro. Interesting. Completely different affiliations at that point.
Different team names, different colors, everything was different back in 77.
The 1-2. Just outside on a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. What guts by Castro and vision to look in that ball. As you get a view here, if you're watching on the MILB TV at the Wynn, gusting out into left with the American flag. 2-2 to Castro. Swung on, this one hit on the ground. It drubs away from Felia. He can't scoop it. Scooped up by the pitcher. Finally flipped in time to Felia. And it does record out number 3. Chaos, though, right here in Salem. Red Sox still making a push. 14-12 this score. They drop a 4-piece in the bottom of the 7th. Can the defense show up? And does the offense have just a little bit left in the tank? Find out next. This is Salem Red Sox Baseball on MILB TV. Welcome back here to Salem Memorial Ballpark. Hi, everybody. Giovanni Heater joined alongside Tyler Katz with you. We toss it over to TK to take us the rest of the way.
Appreciate it, Gio. 8-9-1, two up for Lynchburg. We have a great finish in store. Ball comes inside. Marquez Johnson, still the pitcher for Salem. Lexer Sadui at the plate for Lynchburg. Sadui today is 1-for-4. He'll take a pitch down low for a 2-0 count. This ball game at one point was 11-0 Lynchburg. Since then, a 12-3 run in favor of Salem makes it 14-12 in favor of the Hillcats. Ball 3 comes inside for Johnson. No action going in the Red Sox bullpen. 3-0 count, trying to find the strike zone. Finally does on a 95-mile-per-hour fastball from Johnson. Out of Long Beach State, now playing here in Salem for the Red Sox. 3-1, outside, a leadoff walk for Lexer Sadui.
Only one pitch in the previous frame for Marcus Johnson. It was a fly out to right when he came in for relief of Brock Bell. Bottom of the order will bring up Mark Filia for Lynchburg. Filia has struck out in all seven games he's played for the Hillcats so far, including a strikeout back in the third today. He'll take a pitch high and tight, 4-1 at 81.
Walk was not what you're looking for here in Salem. Again, we talked about it, Tyler. Hey, the defense is what has to step up here. The offense is scoring plenty to win a ballgame. You put up 12 runs, you should win that every day.
1-0 swung on and missed. We'll make it a 1-1 count. And that's the thing. The Lynchburg Hillcats have scored in six of the seven completed innings so far. We're now here in the top of the eighth, 14-12. Lynchburg currently on top of Salem. 1-1, runner thought about going a pop-up on a pitch inside. Johnson misses for a 2-1 count to Filia, who has a lot of family ties to the sport. Brother Mikey played baseball in the Kansas City Royals organization, was last seen in 2019 when the Appalachian League was still in rookie ball and part of minor league baseball. Fouled off and into these unoccupied seats over on the right field line. His brother Eric played in the Seattle Mariners organization, was last seen in the Dominican Winter League this offseason, the 2022-2023 Dominican Winter League season. 2-2 pickoff back to first base, back in safely, Lexer Sadui. The Irvine, California native and undrafted free agent from UC San Diego, where he batted .283, currently batting .125 with his 1-for-3 performance. But a called strike three, Chris Jenke brings him up. First K of the day for Marcus Johnson. And after the walk, that's exactly what Salem needed.
No doubt, couldn't have come at a better time either. Got to get that defense producing here, get some quick outs, get in and out, get your offense back on the field, have a chance. Defense got to give the offense a chance to win this thing here.
Nate Furman, the next batter, will take a strike right down the middle. Former Charlotte 49er last collegiate season before being drafted in the fourth round. How about this? Last season for the Charlotte 49ers, led the team in a variety of categories. Ball skips away, a wild pitch allows Sadui to go to second. He's off to the races, heading for third and pulling into third. Two bases earned on a wild pitch from Johnson. 90 feet away with one out is not what the doctor ordered.
It just can't happen. As far as, and if it happens a couple times a game, sure, but I feel like Salem this year has given up a lot of runs with that being the issue, particularly wild pitches.
Well, Furman, a dangerous batter, batting .406 on the young season, takes a strike upstairs, a 1-1 count. Led Charlotte in on-base percentage with a .482 OBP. Opened last season on a 16-game hitting streak for Charlotte. 1-2. Hit over towards left field, should be deep enough to score Sadui. Catch is made by Castro. The throw is to the plate, but way offline. A sack fly into left pushes the lead back up to three for the Hillcats, scoring in seven of eight innings.
I mean, unbelievable offense out of the Hillcats. In some ways, you got to tip your cap here. Scoring in seven of eight innings. Most of them coming with multiple runs besides the fifth. So far, the eighth and the seventh. That's pretty darn impressive.
Base is empty with two outs to bring up Juan Benjamin. First pitch downstairs, 4-1. Benjamin, the Santiago Dominican Republic native, played three games last season with Lynchburg, now getting a much bigger role with the Hillcats. Called strike down the middle will make it 1-1. Benjamin has extended two different streaks of very opposite spectrums. 1-1 missing outside. He has extended his strikeout streak to now six straight games in which he has struck out. But he has also extended his hitting streak to seven games. So a 7-game hitting streak and a 6-game strikeout streak now for Juan Benjamin. Ball outside, hitters count, 3 balls and a strike. 2 away, nobody aboard, top of the 8th, 15-12, Lynchburg on top of Salem currently. Kick and fire by Johnson, called strike outside, will put the count full. Taking a quick look around the Carolina League. Augusta and Myrtle Beach tied at 1 in the top of the 8th. Here comes the payoff pitch, outside for a walk. Second walk surrendered by Johnson. This inning will bring up Zarate.
A little off topic, but I gotta say, Augusta might have the best nickname in the league, besides the Red Sox, of course. The Augusta Green Jackets. I mean, if you're a golf fan like myself, that is absolutely fantastic. A reference to the Masters, of course.
Green Jackets got a lot of attention during the recent Masters tournament. Ball downstairs, and that wasn't making reference to their name. Got a lot of Twitter retweets and likes. Delmarva currently leading Fredericksburg 9-2, bottom 5. End of the 6th, Columbia leading Fayetteville 4-0. Foul back to the screen, 1-1 the count. Carolina taking down East 5-2, which means Down East is now 5-4, tied with Salem for the lead in the Carolina League North prior to this game being over. Kannapolis also taking down Charleston 6-1. 1 ball, 1 strike. Runner at first is Juan Benjamin. 2 away, top of the 8th. Pitch fouled off back towards the third base side. Out of play. 1 ball and 2 strikes. Taking a look around the Red Sox organization. In high A, Greenville leading the Greensboro Grasshoppers 5-4 in the bottom of the 9th. Greensboro down to their final 3 outs. 1-2 delivery. Swing and a grounder, foul, third baseline. Double A, Portland falls today to the Reading Fighting Phils 3-1. And in Triple A, Worcester leading Lehigh Valley 5-2 in the top of the 8th. Benjamin stands at first, a 1-2 count to Angel Zarate. On a foul ball, hooking back behind home plate, and this has been a battle between Zarate and Johnson so far. Fan makes a catch and gets the ovation from the crowd that has remained here as we're approaching the 3-hour mark of today's ballgame. 1-2, runner goes on a high pop-up, foul territory, hooking out of play yet again, a loud crash into the seats. And then, of course, up at the tippy top of the organization in Boston currently, it is a 1-1 score between the Red Sox and the Twins at the end of the 5th inning. 1-2, runner goes again on a pop-up foul territory. This one stays in play, caught into the glove of Lionel James for the 3rd out of the inning. Bottom of the 8th coming up. We're set for an exciting finish here from Salem on MILB TV. We welcome you back here to Salem. Exciting finish in store. Bottom of the eighth, a 15-12 barn burner with the Lynchburg Hillcats currently in front of the Salem Red Sox. Juan Chacon, Luis Ravello, Ronald Rosario due up this inning. A ball outside at 93 miles per hour. New pitcher on the mound, a lefty, Adam Tulloch. Wears number 32, drafted in the 15th round by the Guardians in the most recent MLB draft. Ball downstairs will be a 2-0 count. Native to Weston, Florida, despite being born in Toronto, Ontario, went to Arizona State in Tempe, Arizona to play his college ball. Ball comes inside, 3-0. So really hopping all around North America. Born in Toronto, grew up in Weston, Florida, which is in the Miami metro area, and then out in Arizona to play for Arizona State. 3-0 is a called strike to Chacon.
Sun Devils, they got a gorgeous ballpark out there in Tempe, one of the nicer ones, not only in the Pac-12, but in the NCAA.
3-1 delivery. Ball downstairs. A leadoff walk for the Red Sox. Red Sox have only scored in two frames so far, but it was an 8 spot in the 5th and a 4 spot in the 7th. Next batter, Luis Ravello. Today is 1-for-3 with a sac fly and a leadoff single in the 7th that ended up propelling Salem to a 4-run inning. A swing and a foul ball towards the right side will hook into the stands and off the grand slam bar down in the right field corner. By the way, a quick reminder that, as always, you can interact with us up here in the broadcast booth by using hashtag SalemSoxBroadcast on Twitter. Another foul ball will make it an 0-2. Fan couldn't make the play. Almost made a catch, but all for naught.
Gotta catch that.
Gotta have those plays. But Salem Sox Broadcast would love to hear your thoughts about the comeback, the season in general. We'd love to interact with you. Even if you just want to let us know where you're watching from or who on the team you're supporting to get called up, let us know on Salem Sox Broadcast as a balk has been called on Adam Tulloch. It puts Juan Chacon now in scoring position.
Yeah, we had friends from the UK reaching out with the hashtag Salem Sox Broadcast on Twitter, letting us know that they're watching from the UK, even telling, encouraging people to tune in. So,
hang on. Time has been called.
Pitch timer.
And yeah, pitch timer ran out. Luis Ravello, I believe, was not set in the box for an automatic, or no, it was a pitch clock violation on Tulloch. Yeah. It's a 1-2. 1-2 dribbler over to short, picked up by Devers. On to Felia in time for the out. A 6-3 ground out for Luis Ravello. Does, however, advance Juan Chacon up to third.
Yeah, that's still good. You get a little advancement here. I mean, outs are going to come. You're still in a decent spot. Ronald Rosario now with what would be Salem's 13th run, 90 feet away. Tying run on deck for Salem.
First pitch to Ronald Rosario is a low called strike. A fastball at 93 finds the zone.
Ronnie's had a good day today.
2-for-3 with a double on his line. Ball down low. The lone at bat in which he did not record a hit was a fielder's choice in the 5th, where he then later came around to score on an Albert Feliz RBI single. One. Check swing, called strike regardless. It's a 1-2 count with one away. Salem trying to come back from at what one point was an 11-run deficit. A swing and a dribbler foul. Gives us a little bit of time to talk about this day in Red Sox organization history. Today, April 18th, on this day, 1981, in, at the time, AAA Pawtucket, the longest game in professional baseball history. Foul ball hooking down the third baseline. The Pawtucket Paw Sox played a 32-inning game against the Rochester Red Wings. The game was suspended at 4:07 a.m. The game tied 2-2 in the 32nd inning. It was then suspended the next day and resumed 9 weeks later. Foul ball to the first base side, still 1-2 the count. But 9 weeks later, in the very first inning of the resumption of that game, in the 33rd inning, the Paw Sox walked it off 3-2 in the longest game in professional baseball history. Those original 32 innings were played on this day, 1981. Ball inside will make it a 2-2 count.
That is probably one of the coolest ones we'll see all season, period.
Yeah, well, how about this for a few statistics? Wade Boggs at the time was playing for Pawtucket. He went 4-for-12, and the great Cal Ripken Jr. went 2-for-13 for the Red Wings. Foul ball into the screen, 2-2 count. Yeah, one of the most wild sequences in professional baseball history, let alone Red Sox franchise history, as a swing and a miss for Ronald Rosario puts a K up on the board for Adam Tulloch. Runner at third with two away. If you're Salem, you almost have to think you have to score Juan Chacon from third. It brings up Lionel James. He's 2-for-4 today, has grounded into a double play with a pair of singles. First pitch downstairs for ball one. 15-12, Lynchburg leading Salem in the bottom of the eighth, runner at third with two away. 1-0, called strike downstairs, will even up the count. By the way, for those wanting to keep track of around the Red Sox organization, 1-1 well outside. The Greensboro Grasshoppers scored in the bottom of the ninth. The Drive and the Grasshoppers are now in the top of the 10th up in High A. A lot of former Salem Red Sox playing in that game as well. 2-1 delivery. A swing and a miss for strike number two. It is only the bottom of the eighth, but Salem down to their final strike for this inning. Lionel James, the batter, Juan Chacon, stands at third. The pitch from Tulloch called, strike three. Chris Jahnke rings him up. Back-to-back punchouts for Adam Tulloch as we head to the ninth. Lynchburg leading 15-12 on MILB TV. Guy Lipscomb leads off the top of the ninth. Tyler Katz, Giovanni Heater on the call for this one. on MILB TV. A big swing and a miss by Guy Lipscomb. First strike one, a 2-for-5 performance today. He takes on the new pitcher on the mound for the Salem Red Sox in Nathan Landry. The Victoriaville, Quebec native, a flare out towards center field. Anthony gives chase, but it drops in the left center field gap. Thought about two, but will retreat back to first. A leadoff single for Guy Lipscomb, a 3-for-6 performance today. And it brings up the 4-for-4 batter today, the DH in Mike Collado. 18 hits now for Lynchburg.
Tyler, we talked about how the defense got to step up here, close the door.
Swing and a miss by Collado for strike number one. Got him swinging out of the batter's box. Left-handed arm in Landry against the right-handed batter in Collado. A look back to first, kicks the leg and fires a foul ball down the first base side, out of play. Collado, the switch hitter from Santiago, Dominican Republic, now batting from the right-hand side. Landry, in his last appearance just 2 days ago against Carolina, pitched an inning of no-hit ball. Hooking foul and out of play. Lands in the concourse for a souvenir. It's an 0-2 to Collado. Landry trying to become the first pitcher to set Collado down. Top of the ninth, 15-12. Lynchburg in front. Runner goes outside, the throw down by Rosario. The tag not in time. A stolen base for Guy Lipscomb. Puts a runner in scoring position. And Gio, the Hillcats have been running all over Rosario and the Red Sox today.
That they have, Tyler, but this is just stuff that they're trying to avoid here if you're Salem. You look at what they've done so far today in the stolen base category.
Grounder heading over towards third and foul.
And it's really, really been something.
Well, you take a count. Ben Hameen's had two. Zarate has one. Devers with two. Collado with one. Furman with two. Lipscomb with two. And Sadui with one. There's the second of the day for Lipscomb. Called strike three for Collado. Sets him down on strikes. But that's 11 stolen bases today for the Lynchburg Hillcats. If that's not a storyline, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
Manuel Mejias, the next Lynchburg batter to grab a bat.
That's a story. The stolen bases are a story, but also how much Salem has left to be desired with guys in scoring position has really been a story all season, dating back to the Delmarva series.
Wild pitch will allow Lipscomb now to advance all the way up to third. A stolen base and a wild pitch, an aggressive base running from the Hillcats, paying off with a runner 90 feet away with just one out recorded so far. By the way, with the new pitcher, Landry, and Johnson's day is done. He goes an inning and a third, allowing a run on no hits. Foul ball out of play. Johnson also allowing two walks while striking out one. There has been one silver lining for the Salem defense. The pitching staff has struck out 12. 1-1. Dribbler back up to second. The throw will come home. The tag is made. What a heads-up play by Abram Liendo. The aggressive base running finally comes back to bite Lynchburg.
That is a heck of a throw by Liendo. Even better tag by Rosario. Absolutely perfect execution between those two. Really, really smart play there.
Chopped out, heading home. Is Guy Lipscomb. Mejias reaches on the fielder's choice. Two outs, one aboard at first for Jose Devers. Pickoff back to first base, but back in safely is Mejias. Nearly got him was Landry, the pitcher.
I think he thought he got him for a second, the way he kind of jumped it. Look at the wind finally starting to settle ever so slightly. I mean, it's still going, but
the flag out in center field, more so majestically flapping in the wind rather than aggressively. Foul ball for strike one.
But then you look at the smaller flags back behind as a
part of the top of the stadium there.
Take a look at this throw, the tag just being made if you're watching on MILB TV. Just a perfect tag, by the way. Don't want to take anything away from Rosario, the catcher. That was a perfectly placed tag as well.
Yeah, no doubt.
0-1, called strike outside. We'll make it an 0-2. So now a strike away from getting out of the inning is Devers, and hanging a zero for Lynchburg for only the second time this ballgame, and what will have been the first time since the second inning. 0-2, grounder to third, picked up by James, goes on to first in time for the out, a 5-3 ground out. Well, three outs to score three runs for the Red Sox. Bottom of the ninth, coming up next on MILB TV. Well, three runs heading into the bottom of the ninth. Most nights seems like a stretch. Tonight seems doable. An eight spot in the fifth, a four spot in the seventh, and maybe it's something about those odd-numbered innings for the Salem Red Sox. Albert Feliz, Abram Liendo, and Roman Anthony do up a swing and a miss by Feliz. This is the same part of the batting order that sparked that eight-run fifth.
I think he was looking for a home run on both of those cuts.
Another swing and a miss for strike two. Feliz needs to be careful not to try to be the hero in this game. Only so much he can do leading off the bottom of the ninth. Adam Tulloch remains on the mound for Lynchburg, by the way. He only allowed a walk in the eighth. Ball comes inside to make it a 1-2 count. By the way, coming up this week, mentioned a couple times this broadcast, 11:05 a.m. first pitch tomorrow for Education Day. Then we get back to our regularly scheduled programming. Ball outside will make it a 2-2. Thursday, 7:05 first pitch, the Salem Beer Mongers make their first appearance of the season.
We'll be back here and we'll see you in about 14 hours.
2-2, called strike three on a pitch that catches the outside part of the plate. Not what Salem needed, three straight strikeouts for Adam Tulloch.
Not what they needed at all. That's just an unfortunate break there.
Abram Liendo, 3-for-4 today, the next batter. Also Thursday is 80s and Aspen night. Called strike down the middle. Friday, 7:05 first pitch, PBS Kids Night and post-game fireworks on another Fireworks Friday.
Sesame Street, man.
0-1 count. Ball downstairs, a lot of great PBS shows, maybe a couple appearances from
Arthur,
some friends over at CBS at the ballpark that day.
True.
PBS. 1-1. swing and a miss for strike two. On Saturday night, wear your costumes out to the ballpark for a 6 o'clock first pitch for halfway to Halloween night.
What are you going as, TK, on Friday? I think we should dress up. I was thinking about it. I think we should maybe make something happen.
You know, I might not make it to the ballpark here on Friday.
I forgot about that.
1-2. Dribbler back up the middle. Tough play, a collision between Devers and Furman. They're both down. And standing at first is Abram Liendo. They are both still down and being checked up by a variety of teammates. And now here comes the athletic trainer for Lynchburg as well as manager Jordan Smith. This is a scary situation right now over at second base.
Yeah, they hit hard. And they're both running full speed at that ball.
Take a look if you're watching on MILB TV, right up the middle, full sprint, and it seems like Furman, the second baseman, got the main brunt of that.
Good news is they did not hit heads at all.
Devers popped up immediately after, and now here comes the Salem athletic trainer to make sure everyone's okay. Both are still down.
Would be a good time to cut to break. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll let the athletic trainers take a look. We'll be right back on MILB TV. Well, all collapses, everything seems okay. Athletic trainers are leaving Devers and Furman out there as they both seem like they're able to play the rest of the way through this ballgame. If you're just tuning in, a scary collision right at second base between Furman, the second baseman for Lynchburg, and Devers, the shortstop, as Liendo singled. 33 combined hits between these two teams. 18 for Lynchburg, 15 for Salem.
It's ridiculous. I mean, the offensive production has been literally ridiculous.
We'll see what Salem has cooking in their final two outs. Ball downstairs to Roman Anthony.
This is the longest game of the season. We're plus 3 hours.
Well, neither team is relative, even close to their most hits in a ball game in this series. Pickoff back to first, back in Salem.
Even wilder.
Lynchburg, most hits they ever had in this long series of over 1,100 games was 25, Salem 24. Foul ball back to the screen, 1-1 count. mention the most runs scored in both this series' history and Salem franchise history was 29. We're at 27 right now. Strikeout looking to Albert Feliz, led off the inning. Adam Tulloch, left-handed batter, looks into the left-handed batter. Ground ball over to short, picked up the throw, and to first is in time, a game-ending double play, and Lynchburg will take the first game of this series on a 6-3 double play, 15-12, your final score. What an ending to a crazy game. Salem battled back from down by 11 at one point to bring it all the way back to within 2 at one point. End up falling by 3. Gio, a comeback falling short. It hurts for right now, but you have to respect the grit and the hustle from Salem to come back in this game.
Yeah, they showed a lot here, right? I think the biggest glaring thing is pitching's got to get better, and you can't have, you know, some of the mistakes. But on the other side, the offense is really, really good, and they've shown that they can string together runs and put stuff together when you need it in tough situations, right? Down 11-0 at one point in this game and able to end up losing it 15-12. If you put up 12 runs, you've put yourself in a really, really good position. You're not going to lose many ball games that you score 12 runs in. So I'll make the adjustments. Beautiful thing is we're going to do this thing again in really like 14 hours.
11:05 first pitch, just about 13 hours and 50 minutes until we play again tomorrow between Lynchburg.
Get home and get to bed.
And Salem. Better sleep tight tonight. And dream about baseball, because we'll be doing that tomorrow morning. Maybe bring in an order of pancakes or something to enjoy tomorrow morning
idea.
As well. Education Day out at the ballpark. If you can get off work or school, come on out to the ballpark. It's supposed to be beautiful weather for a Wednesday matinee game tomorrow. A few final statistics before we step away. Our final line score, Lynchburg scoring 15 runs on 18 hits. They commit 2 errors in the field, got a runner aboard in every single inning. They end up leaving 10 runners on base. For Salem, a respectable 12 runs on 15 hits. They do not commit an error in the field, while only leaving 7 runners on base today, with a first pitch time of 6:06 and a final out recorded at 9:15. That puts us at a game time of 3 hours and 9 minutes. So, Gio, before we step away, any parting thoughts here from Salem Memorial Ballpark?
I think this was a wild game. I think both teams saw a lot of each other. I don't know that you'll see one be this high scoring again throughout. I think one, adjustments will be made. Two, now you start to see hitters a couple of times and start to make those adjustments. So, again, beautiful thing is you get to do it all over again tomorrow. And then every day the rest of the week all the way through until Sunday's over. So, should be a great week of baseball here in Salem.
Winning pitcher will go into the books as Zach Jacobs. Meanwhile, the losing pitcher for Salem is Dalton Rogers, who ended up allowing the first run of the game. Salem never tied or took the lead, so Rogers will take the loss in this one. One more time, your final score, Lynchburg 15, Salem 12. That'll do it for us here on MILB-TV. We'll see you in about 14 hours, 11:05 first pitch for Education Day. For Giovanni Heater, I'm Tyler Katz, signing off. Have a great night.
Test 1, 2. Test.